and blood splattered on the walls.
At least 45 women and children were killed in the Syrian city of Homs late Sunday, according to opposition activists. Peace talks between a UN representative and the Syrian regime failed to bring a ceasefire. FEMA rejected the Illinois governor's request for federal disaster money following the February 29th tornado that devastated the state. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says he'll appeal the decision.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency has denied the disaster status for Southern Illinois for the tornado damage at Harrisburg and Ridgeway. I can't believe it.
FEMA wrote a letter to Governor Pat Quinn saying the damage was not severe enough for federal help. Rick Santorum says he still believes he can catch Mitt Romney in the Republican race for president after Santorum won Kansas. Alabama and Mississippi hold primaries tomorrow. Gas prices were up another 12 cents over the past couple of weeks, according to the Lundberg survey. Publisher Trilby Lundberg compares the national average of $3.81 a gallon to where we were last year.
The current price is about 31 cents higher than it was a year ago. This is not the giant premium we experienced earlier this year, but it is enough to feel because unemployment still is pretty deep.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Merriman? I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Over the weekend, we heard that gasoline prices now average just over $3.81 a gallon for regular, according to the new Lundberg price survey. That fact is not being lost on the rental car industry. Companies including Hertz, Avis, and Enterprise are increasing their once tiny offerings of hybrids and all-electric vehicles. As USA Today says, requests for fuel sippers and plug-ins are rising with each price tick higher at the pump. This week we hear from the Fed. The scheduled policy meeting by Ben Bernanke's Open Market Committee is tomorrow. But we'll be getting more than just a decision on interest rates and the latest on stimulus efforts. The Fed also will be releasing results of the latest bank stress tests. And the New York Times reports expectations are high that the news will be good, showing greater stability and rising balance sheets among the major financial players. Japan's Nikkei slipped 0.5% today. European stock markets are slightly lower. S&P futures are losing a fraction of a point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at SpeedPass.com by May 31st, 2012 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon just by using your SpeedPass device. Visit SpeedPass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card linked to SpeedPass. Maximum 100 gallons per account eligible for rebate. Offer valid for only one account per person. Allow 90 days to receive rebates.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we handcraft policies like Italian shoes, and this is a pop quiz. Does sitting on your wallet feel like sitting on a lopsided booster seat? No? Well, it should. See, Farmers agents can help you stuff your wallet by combining auto and home policies so you can walk tall, sit crooked, and hopefully find a decent chiropractor.
If you want answers about saving money, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And good morning. 6 minutes after 6 a.m. on this Monday, March 12, 2012, you don't and can't get better weather than we had yesterday. Truly, truly amazing weather for an early March, and who would have thunk? In fact, I was reading early this morning that we actually may set a record for consecutive days of 60 degrees or more in the month of March here in the state of Michigan, and that's a record I will take. Just what a glorious, glorious day yesterday and today, although it may rain. It will not be cold, and that's all I care about. Any day that you can't have a wind chill is a good day for me anyway. Hope you're all well. Hope you all had a great weekend. And it is just such a pleasure and a joy and a blessing, frankly, to be in the big chair this morning. And we have a great show lined up for you and lots of other stuff to get to, including reminding you that I will be sitting in for Big Eddie today. I'll be sitting in for Ed Schultz, which will, beginning today, be on 1310 WDTW at noon. He and Tom Hartman are switching times, so Tom will be on today. He just won't be on until 3, and Ed will be on at noon forevermore. And looking forward to sitting in for Big Eddie. But today, we've got to do our show first, and that is the priority. State Representative John Alumba will be joining us to talk about a series of omnibus bills that he has put together that he hopes will pass through the House and then onto the Senate that will help heal the city of Detroit. We'll talk to him about that. Occupy Detroit, of course, will occupy First Shift. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, joins us after the state convention. Endorsement convention on Saturday, which I was not able to attend because I was at the United Way training with my good friend Ed Potasnik and the wonderful people that were there. And then, of course, Chris Savage with Eclecta Blog will join us for our blog roll segment at 8:35. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get this thing started.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Anticipation. For me, that's really appropriate this week. I'm anticipating my Wednesday morning surgery. Those of you that are not aware, I'm going to be having gastric bypass. That is weight loss surgery. Give me a chance to take off some of instead of a spare tire, maybe a couple or three spare tires that I've been carrying with me way too many years. So very much in anticipation of that, but anticipation of things that are happening both globally, nationally, statewide, and locally. We are in anticipation of change. Change is oftentimes a good thing, especially when smart, dedicated, passionate people are helping to steer the political bus, and they are right now. I'm happy to say that as we look at job numbers, anticipation, things are looking up. We look at the economy, the anticipation, things are looking up. As we take a look at what's happening locally, we know that we need to turn the House from Republican to Democrat, and things are, if you're anticipating it, folks, things are looking up. We have plenty of reasons as Democrats to be feeling very good about things, and of course, we all have to deal with anticipation. Indeed we do. Anticipation, today's first word. I've been anticipating getting Jeff back on the show because the NCAA March Madness seeding happened over the weekend, and what an interesting tourney it shall be. Mr. Radford, good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. Let's hope it is an interesting tournament, which, by the way, kicks off Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
No, it doesn't, actually. I really hate that they have the first four now, but the actual tournament kicks off Thursday.
This is the first year with the expanded field, isn't it?
No, they've had it before. This is the first year they've actually gave it a nickname. It's the first four.
The first four. Instead of the final four, it's the first four.
Well, both, yeah. They start with the first four and they end with the final four, but I want to kind of rip on it because I don't like it, but then obviously last year they had VCU come out of the first four and make it to the final four.
Hey, help me out here. VCU stands for?
Virginia Commonwealth.
Thank University. You. Yeah, I saw it in the bracket and went, yeah, whatever. I'll ask Jeff.
And it was funny too because when the selection show, which happens every year, happened yesterday afternoon or evening, when they did it last year, I can remember the so-called national pundits, the experts, really being upset that VCU made it, and they were just like, they don't deserve it, they're not gonna, they'll be done after the first weekend, and they made it all the way to the Final Four, a very senior laden team, and coached by Shaka Smart, who might move to the Big Ten next
Illinois,
year.
I understand.
Yeah, Illinois is looking at him. So I
heard a conversation about that on Sports Talk Radio last week, so that's the only reason I know that. It'll be March Madness, I remember, I don't even remember how old I was, that my dad, who I did not know, was an NCAA fan. This was many, many years ago. My dad was a very, very successful businessman and owned his own food distribution company. And I just remember he had a TV in his office that never went on, Jeff. In fact, it had dust on it as thick as whatever. And anyway, all of a sudden, it had been in there for years. I mean, I'd never seen the TV on. So March Madness, millions of years ago. I walk into his office, and he's actually sitting there watching, because, they do afternoon games, and he's actually sitting there watching basketball. This is, of course, when they would have it on CBS or ABC, wherever they'd have it. And I was stunned. I was stunned that my dad was so into it. That's my original memories of the of March Madness, which is a good memory, nonetheless. So it should be fun. Tigers continue to do well, although they lost, I think, just one game so far this preseason. They tied yesterday. Fun, of course, to read how some of these guys are doing. Ryan Rayburn's having a great spring, Jeff, and that doesn't bode well for Brandon Inge. Read a great article the other day that doesn't really matter. Dave Dombrowski was talking about how great he was at second base, and it's like he's been there for 10 years, and Jim Leland said, that's all true. All I care about is whether or not the guy can hit.
Well, and he's been hitting. I don't knock. Inge has got 286 so far in the spring as well. Ryan Rayburn's having a great spring. And I really hesitate to put too much into the numbers of spring training.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think it necessarily knocks. I don't know that he's directly in competition with Ryan Rayburn. And because think if they're the top two guys, because you still have to fill a DH and a second baseman
and a Ramon Santiago, you're going to get to him in a minute, right?
Well, he's not going to have a full time job.
He never does. Why is that, by the way? Why is that?
Because they think in small doses he's the most effective. Okay. And I've heard that more than one place. Not just Leland says it all the time, but a lot of other people in the organization as well. They like the fact that he's versatile. If Johnny needs a day off, he's at short. If whoever is the second baseman needs a day off, he's at second. And he'll end up playing a lot more than a part-time guy does because he'll take all these off days that everyone else gets an off day. But anyway, so I think Rayburn, if he can prove that he can pull spring into the beginning of the season, which he never does, he always gets hot around August. Then you got your everyday, he'll play in the field, but put it at DH. I think they'll do a rotation anyway. Second base and DH will be this three-man rotation as it is.
Okay, well, I mean, it's coming along 3 weeks out of the first pitch of the 2012 season. I anticipate that and look forward to it. And
did you hear about Avisail Garcia?
I have not.
It was a big buzz over the weekend talking about how he's having a good spring. Well, He's a 20-year-old Venezuelan who I've only heard the name because he's always in the top 10 prospects of the Tigers every year.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the guy is 6'4", 240 pounds, and he plays outfield like he runs like a deer. And I'm thinking, good lord. I mean, a guy with
that
size.
You're saying he runs on all fours?
No, he runs fast.
Oh, okay.
He can cover a lot of ground in the outfield.
I just want to make sure I got it right. That's all right.
So I was, and he's having a decent spring as well. I don't think he'll, obviously he's not going to make the team. He's only 20, but yeah, that's a guy I'm going to keep an eye out for the coming
years.
One
of the things I miss about Sparky, and I don't know how engaged you were with baseball when Sparky was around, because you were quite young then, but, you know, Sparky would always take somebody out of spring training that was just this absolute guy that came from nowhere. And there was the controversy was always what was going to happen to him. And Sparky guessed wrong a whole lot more than he guessed right. And usually that big surprise out of spring training didn't end up lasting very long. Jim Leland, not so much. He's more of a traditionalist in that regard. But I just remember Sparky talking about some of these guys. I mean, he would bring up a player, and he would just talk like he was the second coming of Babe Ruth, and then 3 weeks, you know, into the season, he was back at, you know, AAA ball or something.
So. See, that I wouldn't think that Garcia is that guy that Sparky would talk about. I think either Eric Patterson or Quinton Berry would be one of the two guys that Sparky would have gone off about. There are guys who are very long shot to make the team, but having a great spring kind of thing, and I just think that they flame out.
You know, and I think that, of course, people are not totally naive to baseball life, Jeff, but, you know, to be a minor leaguer, there are guys that hang out in the minor leagues for a decade or more sometimes, and that just becomes their life. I mean, it does become their life, and, man, that's got to be tough when you know you're right on the cusp like that as a player, to know you're right on the cusp but just can't seem to get to the big leagues. It's got to be really frustrating.
I can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine, too. All right, we'll come back. We'll chat some more. 888-552-3595. Anthony is back. We'll ask him how his trip to the big city was. He went to New York City over the weekend, and anxious to hear how that went. And again, we'll just get through what we got to get through, because we have a lot of stuff to do. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back. It's all about us today on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trivette.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great on the freeways right now. No reports of the accidents or delays. Just a reminder that Dix Toledo Road northbound, that ramp to northbound 75 is closed. The southbound Dix Toledo Road ramp to southbound 75 is closed as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, rain, thunderstorms also possible. A high near 61. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 40s. Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 60s. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Dr. Jill Stein, a candidate for the Green Party's presidential slot. Tell my audience, if you would, a little bit about the Green Party for those that are not familiar with the Green Party, please.
The Green Party is the party of regular working people. You have two establishment parties, but they've sort of given up the ship for everyday working people. They're delivering the goods for the wealthy few who are already rolling in dough. They're imposing austerity on everyday people, cutting back for our health care and our schools and the things that everyday people need, as transportation, yet they are squandering trillions on more Wall Street bailouts, tax breaks for the millionaires and billionaires, and wars overseas that get ever bigger and ever more expensive every day.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiani page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiani on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Tribbiani.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday, the 12th day of March. Jeff, I just to extend our sports conversation literally 15 seconds. I understand one of the Pistons rookies was just sent to the mad ants of the Fort Wayne National Basketball Developmental League.
Oh yeah,
the Mad Ants.
That's an awesome name.
I didn't even know the Mad Ants existed, but just because it is, I had to say that. It was cool. So, Anthony, good morning to you, son. And how was your trip to the big city of New York?
Expensive.
Well, besides that, son, did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah. Any particular favorite?
Not really. I mean, everything was just cool. I mean, just seeing Manhattan and all that was awesome.
Did you get to Central Park?
No, I did not make it.
Okay, because it's massive. Just trying to think all the touristy stuff there is to do there, which is a ton.
I did pay $50 to go to the top of the Empire State Building, which was horrible, because you had to sit through this Kevin Bacon video that just sucked.
Huh?
Yeah, it was a virtual tour of New York with Kevin Bacon, and it was bad.
Add that to your list of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Did you have, like, a favorite place that you ate at? Because you and I talked a lot about the food before you left.
Yes, I actually, we were walking, we were going to, I think, a bar in I happened to see this Italian place and it looked real nice, so we ended up stopping in there. Expensive, but it was one of the best meals I've honestly had in a while.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how, I mean, even if it's just pasta, but there's something about being in New York because they get it, eh? You know, a lot of New Yorkers never use their kitchen. They just don't. And so the food's got to be good in order for people to come back, and because that's what they rely on, and it's just amazing. So I don't, you know, I was there years ago, eh, and I just remember even McDonald's was expensive, so I don't know if you ate fast food at all, but even back then, the McDonald's was more expensive than it was here.
Hey, I didn't end up getting any fast food because, I mean, I didn't want to eat what I could get at home.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. Well, good.
A lot of pizza, though.
A lot of pizza?
Yeah.
And I bet you, did you go to Ray's?
No, I did not. I didn't even see one. I didn't really think about it.
Okay. Good pizza, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you had to eat it properly where you fold it in half, and because that's the way New Yorkers eat their pizza.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, good. I'm glad that you had a good time.
Hey, what's that famous hot dog joint in New York?
Nathan's.
Well, not Nathan's. The one that was in the movie. I mean, Nathan's is famous, but there's like it's not like just a hot dog, but it's a hot dog. It's like a Coney. You know what I'm saying? I'll look it up.
Okay, because Nathan's is a Coney Island.
Well, yeah, but Nathan's is like I think this is like a one joint. It's not like a chain, I think.
All right, you'll have to look it up, because that's the only, when you say hot dogs in New York, Nathan's is the only thing that comes to mind for me. I mean, although they have the carts on the street and all that stuff, of course, but Nathan's is what comes to mind for me. And so be it. So, you know, I've been on this, as you both know, I've been on this pre-operative diet, which is severely limited what I can consume. And although I realize that after I have surgery, I'm going to be on even a much more constrictive diet, which I'm absolutely fine with. But the biggest difference is between after surgery and before surgery is before surgery, you still want to eat that stuff. After surgery, I won't. So I'm really looking forward to Wednesday because I need to put this behind me, get on the healing path, and then immediately get back to work as quickly as I possibly can. because I don't like not working. What is it?
Gray's papaya.
I've never heard of Gray's papaya.
That's it was made famous in a movie that I saw. And then,
do you know what the movie was?
Yeah, Fools Rush In.
Okay, yeah,
Chandler from Friends.
Yep, never saw it. Gray's papaya. No, never heard of it. But that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, I'm a big. I don't know, Jeff. Do you ever watch the Food Network? Because it seems to be one of those networks that even jocks watch.
I you'd think I would, right? But no, I don't watch it that often.
Okay. Well, no, I wouldn't necessarily. Well, yeah, first, because you actually do enjoy, although you don't cook a lot, you do enjoy doing it. I don't know. I watch the Food Network probably more than I should admit to. But I'm always, I always get a kick out of it because every now and then they'll have a football player on there or a basketball player, you know, professional athlete, and they talk about, you know, having nothing but the Food Network on 24/7 at their house, and I just somehow can't fathom that, but I'm sure they wouldn't just say that, but I just find that interesting. It's amazing how the Food Network, how far the Food Network has come since its inception, oh, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, whenever it started, but it was really interesting. Very quickly, Jeff, because I think you know this story better than I do. We're not going to get to the audio yet, but this Coney thing, and not Coney as in Coney Island, this dictator in Uganda, that the video that's out.
Yeah, Joseph Kony.
Can you give us a little background on that? Because I'm really not tuned into it, to be honest with you.
I don't know if it started, but it was posted, I think, last week, on Monday or so. And by Thursday, it had 50 million views.
Right. I know it went viral last week.
Right. And it was actually a lot of younger people that were, you know, taken aback by this. And basically, in Uganda, there's this, Joseph Kony leads like a group of, people that, are very ruthless. They basically kidnap children and or they're trying to take over, you know, the country, and they use these children soldiers. They make them the men, you know, they make the boys, I guess, their future soldiers, and they use the women for the slave trade, and it's just this horrible story about how they have to prove they have to prove their loyalty to this group, and the things that he's made them do. It's just unreal. And so, you know, people have watched it and have gotten an uproar. I mean, there's I can't believe people are on both sides. Like, oh, we need to do something about this. And then there's this attack on people who say we need to do something about this.
Right. I mean, the controversy is that some are actually saying that it's misrepresented, that it's not true, or it's a little bit manufactured, or...
Well, no, they're just saying there's certain things about it that, you know, I guess, like, Joseph Kony isn't in Uganda anymore, or, you know, and the video makes it sound like, yeah, you can just go there and find him. And there's a couple of other, like, the video says 30,000 child soldiers, and really, you know, as the audio will play, Jake Tapper is the reporter that has actually asked, you know, President Obama about this before. And he said it's more like 150 to 300,000 instead. Right. Well, so, I mean, there's things that are just a little off about the video.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, we'll do that right after the break. We'll come back and talk about that. Because, again, I know that I had a few people, Jeff, send me on Facebook a private message. You know, someone posted it to my timeline on my personal page, and then a couple people sent me a private message saying, you know, you need to be outraged about this. You need to be covering this. You know, you have a personal responsibility as a member of the media. And not that I don't believe all that, but I also have lots of other things that I have to cover, and I just never got to it. And I know we had some audio on Friday that we heard Thursday, whatever day it was, that we just never got to. So anyway, that's why I asked you to set that up. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and talk about that and a whole lot more, including Game Change, which I did not end up watching on Saturday night. Opted instead to go out on a date with my wife, which I assure you was, even if that movie was awesome, was far better than that movie. I promise that's true. Let's take a quick break, and we will continue with First Shift. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This little traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. No problems on the freeways right now. We are looking at some pretty easy travel. Of course, that will change once the rain moves in. Just a reminder that 12-mile road eastbound right at I-75 is down to only one lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
It's back. Drive through McDonald's today to get a Shamrock Shake. This cool treat full of minty goodness is only here for a limited time. Don't delay.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, a wet start to your week with rain moving in. Thunderstorms also possible. A high near 61 tonight. Showers and thunderstorms remain, mostly cloudy otherwise. A low around 49. Then tomorrow the sun comes out, a high near 61. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Some say that Barack Obama never seems to go far enough with his policy proposals, settling instead for half-step reforms. On one important issue, however, the Obamacans had been going way too far. With an executive excess that would have given pause even to the Bush-Cheney regime, Obama's Justice Department has been trying to silence whistleblowers who dare to expose government wrongdoing to journalists. Every president hates leaks, but this one is hauling public-spirited leakers into federal court, vengefully accusing them of being spies. His bludgeon is the 1917 Espionage Act, intended to apply to people who give aid to our enemies. In its nearly 100-year existence, the act has been used just 3 times to prosecute people who reveal national security secrets. But Obama has now brought out this sledgehammer 6 times in only 3 years to prosecute simple whistleblowers. Thomas Drake was one of them. His crime was telling a Baltimore Sun reporter that the agency he worked for was paying hundreds of millions of dollars to a corporate contractor for a software program, rather than installing a much cheaper, more effective, and less problematical program developed by the agency itself. Even though his claim was true, Drake was prosecuted under the Espionage Act, charged with 10 felonies carrying punishments of up to 35 years in prison. What he had revealed was not a matter of national security, but merely a political embarrassment to the administration. It was such overkill that the case collapsed from its own absurdity, but not before putting Drake through a ringer and sending a chill through other potential whistleblowers. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more about Obama's bizarre, heavy-handed attacks on truth-tellers, contact the Government Accountability Project, www.whistleblower.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift.
with Tony Trupiano.
And do. Welcome back 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. It is Monday. As I'm sure you all know by now, the weather is gorgeous. No need to worry about anything. We are expecting some rain today. I did notice that some of our annuals are budding already on the grass, which is the grass, I was going to say, is turning just a little green, a tinge of green, a little early, and I'm not going to rule out snow yet this year, but I'm feeling pretty good about what we got right now, as promised before the break. Joseph Kony, a Ugandan dictatorish type guy, the world outrage, but the controversy as well. Let's listen to Jake Tapper on This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
Is this activism, or the new term is slacktivism, does hitting that button, watching the video, replace, substitute social action?
George, it will be both. But I'm with Austin. It is an amazing new arena where information flows so much more quickly, rapidly, to diverse audiences. This has got to be good for humanity. It's like the Gutenberg press. Suddenly everybody can see and learn. Yes, you're right, some won't discriminate. Let me give you another aspect to this. It may solve campaign finance. In other words, money becomes less valuable and important when a video can go viral and hit 100 million people almost cost-free. And so I think so many issues will be affected by this, from the Arab Spring to taking down a dictator, a terrorist, to political finance. I think it's amazing.
Well, I'm reminded of the video of Mehta in Iran in 2009.
The girl who was shot.
Was an image that broke hearts all around the world, that no action followed. We didn't press our government to get involved. So it has to connect the two. And Bush speechwriter Mike Gerson wrote the most spot-on comment about this, that empathy is not a zero-sum game. You know, obviously there are atrocities taking place in Syria that, you know...
But increasing the awareness,
is a good thing.
Awareness is a good thing. As somebody who tried and failed to get stories on air and to get the public interested when Obama sent 100 Special Forces troops to Central Africa.
To take on Joseph Kony.
As somebody who asked President Obama about this last October, and there was very little interest in getting that question and answer out there for the public, very little interest or awareness by the public. Bravo to them. But the question is, to what end? There are things in that video that are not factually accurate. He's not in Uganda, Joseph Kony. A lot of this, there are not 30,000 child soldiers. It's probably between 150 and 300.
But he is going to be probably one of the most famous men in the world on April 20th. We only have a couple of minutes.
All right, and they're identifying him as Joseph Kony, not Kony, but Kony. That was Elliot Spitzer, Nicole Wallace, and then Jake Tapper on that piece. Slacktivism is not a word I'm familiar with, Jeff. Is it a reference to not slacking off, of course?
Is, actually.
Really?
Yeah, they are trying to, and I've heard it basically attached to either my generation or Anthony's, this right in our age range, where it's instead of actually going out and being an activist and making a change and doing something, you click a button, you click like or dislike or thumbs up or thumbs down on a website.
And that's it, you're done.
And then, you get outraged for a little bit, and then you kind of lose interest and move on.
Interesting. Well, that's, of course, we could have that conversation now, but that's an interesting way to slacktivism. I kind of find that fascinating.
Well, I think it's silly, though, the criticism of this video or bringing this video to attention and just saying, well, all you're going to do is create slack. I mean, so then you're just going to discount the entire thing? I mean, I agree with what Nicole Wallace said, and regardless of whether there's a connection or not, the awareness, you know, Jake Tapper brought up the point where he actually talked to the Obama administration, you know, months ago about this.
Right, and they expressed little or no interest in wanting to have that discussion.
Well, no, the public didn't, you know, he actually tried to put the story out there, and there was no public response.
Well, you know what? It's interesting because you know, this goes back to something that I talk about a lot when I go speak, and I've certainly addressed on the show, which is the difference between showing up and standing up. And you know, anybody can show up, which is what you're saying in the slacktivism thing. Anybody can show up, Jeff. That's true. But what you do once you show up is really what's critical, which is, of course, what I try to incite in people when I go speak is, you know, it's not what you do now. It's what you do after you leave the building that matters. And so maybe that's what they're talking about.
I agree that standing up is the most important. Showing up, though, is better than not caring at all.
Well, yeah, it starts by showing up. I mean, if no one shows up, then no one knows. So, yes, I recognize that. But I've never thought, and I've always felt this way, I've never thought that showing up is enough. And that's, you know, and I really don't mean to make a hard argument to make my point there. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Bruce. Bruce, good morning to you, my friend. How you been?
Hey, awesome. I heard you didn't get to watch Game Change yet. I highly recommend you watch it.
Oh, I DVR'd it, and I will definitely be watching. In fact, I'll be watching it this evening.
Okay, well, it's very entertaining, very interesting. I guess it's kind of a lot of stuff we knew before about Sarah Palin and John McCain. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you saw John McCain. I think he was on CNN.
Yeah, we've got some audio that we're going to get to in just a little bit.
Yeah, he hasn't even watched the movie yet, but he's saying it's not accurate. But Steve Schmidt, who is the campaign manager, says it's totally accurate. And how totally unprepared Sarah Palin was to step into the role as, God forbid, vice president was, I guess, it just highlighted it even more.
Yeah, in fact, that question Chris Wallace asks, that was on Fox. Chris Wallace asked John McCain that question. We're going to get to that, like I said, just a little bit.
Okay, well, I recommend everyone that can to watch it and invite friends over. And have a good time.
All right, Bruce, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. Just so you got it, tony@thetonyshow.org.
I sent a link to you, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't know if you got it, about the Sarah Palin thing.
Not yet. Yesterday?
No, it was over the weekend. So apparently I didn't do it right.
I only got one email from you, and that was last night.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those things where you go onto the website and you say, email to a friend. And
I'd never do that.
Yeah, that was always don't work.
Yeah,
so,
no, they don't work.
But it talked about how, you know, Sarah Palin and is based in her crew is so good at keeping her in the news when really she has no relevance. And this video is the same thing. They might actually like the Game Change video. You know, they actually might not think that it's that inaccurate, but if they hard stance on it and say, oh, don't watch this, this is horrible, they lie the entire time.
It's always about spin.
Right. So then it gets people to actually tune in. And I've heard reviews say, okay, it might be slightly inaccurate. And then you have, you know, some people saying, no, it's completely accurate. But the point is it's actually quite sympathetic to her and her case in this entire campaign. So, you know, you would almost think that she'd be fine with it. Well, if she says, oh, I'm fine with it, then the story goes away.
Well, of course, right. Well, let's actually listen. Chris Wallace on Fox Sunday talked with Senator John McCain about the movie Game Change, which, again, Bruce said he claims that he didn't watch, and I'll assume he didn't. This is what he had to say.
I thought that she was the best qualified person. I thought she had the ability to excite our party and the kind of person that I wanted to see succeed in the political arena. She's a very effective and successful governor of the state. And
I just want to ask one last question in this regard, because it does speak to the question of credibility, and then we'll leave it. You say that the authors and Hollywood made stuff up, but I want to point out some quotes from Steve Schmidt, who was your chief strategist during the 2008 campaign. He's played by Woody Harrelson in the movie. And here's what he says. He says, it's the true story of what happened over those 10 weeks. This is Schmidt talking now. And then he says this. I regret playing a part in a process that yielded someone on the ticket who was not prepared to be president. So I'm not asking you to respond to Hollywood or to the authors. What do you say to the guy who was one of your top advisors in the 2008 campaign, Steve Schmidt, who says this is all true?
I regret that he would make such a statement.
Well, look at there.
I don't mean to laugh, Jeff, but
it was awkward watching the. I watched it live or whatever, and I'm like, I can't wait to see what his answer is.
That's that.
What does that say, though? It doesn't say anything. He's not even arguing with it.
Here's the problem. Bob Ficano has done this. He talks about being betrayed and how unfortunate it is that these people that he trusted they've turned their back on him, and, you know, they're just now defending themselves in the face of the truth and blah, blah, blah. John McCain basically just said, yeah, I feel like I got it rammed right up me, is basically what he said. Because this guy that we're speaking of, who was played by Woody Harrelson in the movie, basically was a dear and trusted advisor to Senator McCain. And so basically what this guy Steve is saying is that, Well, yeah, basically I screwed my old boss. That wouldn't sit well with anybody.
No.
Ultimately, this is about money. Again, we go back to following the money. All these people, all these advisors to the movie made money. You know, how much? And listen, it's an HBO film, so it's not like they got filthy, filthy rich off it, but they made more money than they would have anyway. And any other way, and so it goes on. Life goes on.
I don't see why they're so upset with things. I mean, I haven't seen the movie. I've seen clips. And the clips are like, okay, an advisor's arguing with Sarah Palin. I don't doubt that that happened. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be arguments. Right.
Often.
And I don't doubt that, you know, McCain, the clip they showed before they asked him that question was him telling his advisor, well, find me a woman, because he wanted to win that part of the vote. Do you not think they have conversations like that? I mean, that's not breaking news.
Absolutely. Again, I haven't seen the movie, and I will watch it this evening, and then perhaps we can talk about it a little bit tomorrow. But, you know, the reality is it 100% accurate? Of course it is not 100% accurate. Nobody is going to claim that it is. Is there elements of truth that interweave the whole thing? The point that Jeff just made, of course there are elements of truth. Even if it's not 100% accurate, there is truth to it. Oh, sweet Jesus, they make things so hard on the right, do they not? And if you don't think that's true, go to my Facebook page and read what the wacko conservatives are doing over there. A quick break, we'll come back. A lot more to get to before we get out of this hour. Stay right where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
My next guest is State Representative Jim Hananich.
I think the way we have to look at it is we have a pretty substantial budget surplus that was left over from the work that Governor Granholm did. And I think a lot of times people forget about that. This was the fruits of Governor Granholm's plan sort of coming and actually starting to work. And I think we should invest that money and maybe get back to work. And whether that's getting school teachers back in the classroom or, in this case, police officers, I think it's extremely important to make sure our communities are safe.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I need to get to some of this audio that we've got because we don't have a lot of time outside of this hour. Let me, as much as I want to get to the Harry Reid stuff, I think we need to go back to John McCain on Fox News with Chris Wallace. And a variety of issues. So they were all over the place, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I always enjoy, by the way, listening to Senator McCain, although I rarely agree with what he has to say. He can from time to time be very moderate, and he will from time to time cross the aisle. It doesn't happen very often. And again, I almost always disagree with what he has to say, but he's a very intelligent man, and he's always worth listening to. In this first clip, he speaks of President Obama talking about Israel and Iran.
What would you do, sir, if 2008 had turned out differently? What would President McCain do? Would you give the Israelis a green light to strike? What would be your red lines as to what you would allow Iran to do before you would strike? And would you give diplomacy? Because now we've got this new oil embargo, the European oil embargo against Iran, and new sanctions against the Iran Central Bank. How much time would you give them to work?
Well, first of all, let me say that the president said he doesn't bluff. Though his national security policy is to prevent massacres, he said that Bashar Assad is unacceptable and has to go. We'll find out about bluffing. Second of all, it's a little bothersome that a president of the United States would denigrate the views of other people who feel that they have a right to weigh in on this issue. It's not casual that some of us in the Senate have become engaged. It's not casual on the part of Mitt Romney to say that it is unacceptable for the Iranians to develop a nuclear weapon.
And I don't disagree with that. Except that he's not telling the complete story there as it comes to the candidates. And the president, of course, was not talking about members of the Senate. He was talking about presidential candidates who talk out their ass more often than their mouth. And they rarely, if ever, have anything to add to the conversation. And as I shared with you on this very show last week, in an analysis done by an impartial third party, the candidate's position on Iran is no different than the president's. We'll leave it there in this next clip. John McCain talks about what he thinks the president is doing wrong.
So the president sends the National Security Advisor and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to Israel and then leaks that they are there in order to urge Israel not to act. Now, if you're a nation that is threatened with extinction, as Iran has threatened Israel, would you rely on another country's capabilities in order to make sure that you are not attacked with nuclear weapons? That's the situation the Israelis find themselves in. Why Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israel is a sovereign nation and will act in their sovereign interests. So what the president has done, rather than bring us closer together with Israel, is shown great degrees of separation.
And then that's fundamentally, again, not true. As the president sat down with Benjamin Netanyahu, reaffirmed, quote-unquote, that we've got their back and would do anything we need to do to support them, including military support, and the president did say that. John McCain fundamentally telling a lie there. Goes on to talk about, though, what he would do should he have been president.
What should he have done? He should have sat down with the Prime Minister of Israel, with our National Security Advisors, and said, here are the following red lines, that if Iran crosses those red lines, and by the way, they continue to develop a nuclear weapon, and there has been no change from that course, despite the sanctions and all the other efforts that are being made, which need to be made, and these are the following red lines, Mr. Prime Minister, and we will act with you if Iran reaches those red lines. Lines, and those red lines could be drawn. Instead, the president has decided to try to persuade Israel not to attack, at least between now and November of 2012. It's not helpful. The relations between the United States and Israel have never been worse.
Gosh, I just don't. I think that John McCain, Jeff, is making things worse by this rhetoric. I think that
I don't understand. How does he not know that's not exactly what happened? Maybe he did set these red lines. You just don't know where they're at.
Well, so and that's why the president said what he said, that it's easy for people to criticize what he's done when they're not the commander in chief and they're not sitting in the chair he sits in. They have no idea, A, what's happening and what's being said, and B, the process by which which we go about making those decisions. Well, and that's true for any president. I would defend any president in that scenario, Jeff.
And that's where I had the problem with the denigrates people who have the opposite opinion. And that's not what President Obama, I thought, came out and said. He was basically like, look, you're not, like you just said, you're not in the discussion, so how are you commenting on what was being said in these discussions when you have no idea? That's not to say your opinion doesn't matter and dismisses you. He's just saying, look, if you're going to criticize me for what I'm saying in these meetings and you don't even know what it is, how do you stand on that leg?
You know what's interesting, because, of course, I was actively involved in talk radio during the George Bush the second years. And, you know, there was, as you know, Jeff, a great deal of criticism with almost every decision that president made. But fundamentally, the difference between George W. Bush and Barack Obama is Barack Obama makes decisions based on a series of facts, and he tries to be diplomatic, sometimes a little too diplomatic. I don't mind saying that up front. Where George Bush had that old cowboy attitude, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to do it just because I want to do it, and I dare you to tell me not to do it, because that'll make me want to do it even that much more. And believe that or not, folks, it is the truth. I mean, there was an arrogance to George W. Bush that this president certainly does not have. I would take this one over the last one, understanding my bias. Well,
and doesn't it seem like that Obama is when there's a tough decision to be made, he's actually leaning towards peacefulness, not necessarily war, where it seems like, you know, Bush was like, the minute he got offended, it's like, oh, all right, we're going to war then.
Listen, we're not going to be able to get into the Afghanistan stuff in this hour, and we will have a chance in the next hour to do that, and we will. And maybe we'll make the point then more specifically. But Jeff, you know, we've just pulled out of Iraq. We're about to, and we need to pull out of Afghanistan much quicker. In fact, I'm going to have this larger conversation on the Ed Schultz Show today with the executive director of Progressive Democrats of America. But when we talk about war, do we really want to get into another conflict? Is that what we're looking to do? And I mean, you make a good point that there's absolutely nothing wrong with allowing diplomacy, no matter how painful diplomacy sometimes can be, because it is trying, Jeff. It's very difficult to work through the diplomatic process because it is slow and painful and oftentimes leads to one dead end after another. But if it stops bloodshed and it accomplishes a negotiated peace and gets us to where we need to go, was it not worth it all? I would have to suggest the answer is yes.
Well, and that's, and McCain makes it sound like, you know, Obama was telling Israel what to do. He was suggesting, hey, look, let's give peace a chance. It's not saying you're not allowed to attack. I mean, they're, like you said, McCain said, it's a sovereign nation. Do what you got to do. But here's our position on it.
And exactly what the president said to Benjamin Netanyahu was, we will be there for you. We will be there for you. Whatever you decide to do, we're going to support you. And so if they decide to attack, we will be there. But what he wanted them to do was to slow down and be much more deliberate. That's all. It's that simple. All right, a quick break for the top of the hour. State Representative John Alumba on the other side and Occupy Detroit as well in the next hour. We'll get into this Afghanistan situation. A horrible, horrid act by a U.S. serviceman creates more problems for us and then again begs the question, is it time to get out of Afghanistan once and for all? The hell with deadlines, or are the rumors true that we're extending our stay beyond 2014? We'll take the break and be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No problems on the freeways right now. Things are looking pretty good. Just a reminder that the 94 westbound ramp to the Southfield Freeway is currently closed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain, some thunderstorms will move in as well. A high near 61. Tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low around 49. Then tomorrow, the sun comes out. A high near 61, but breezy winds out of the west as well. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, the Taliban is talking about revenge for the 16 people killed by an American soldier in Afghanistan. CNN's Sarah Seidner reports the shootings took place about 15 miles southwest of Kandahar.
This is an area that is known to have a strong Taliban presence, an area, though, where villagers say, look, we were told by the U.S. to come back to this area, and look what has happened to us. A lot of sorrow, a lot of people crying and trying to explain what happened through tears there in Panjwai, which is in the western part of Kandahar.
Israel says it hit Gaza with new airstrikes on rocket-launching sites today. Palestinian sources say a 15-year-old boy was killed in the bombing. Rick Santorum says he still believes he can catch Mitt Romney in the Republican race for president. Santorum won Kansas over the weekend. Some of his supporters want Newt Gingrich out of the race, but Santorum didn't say that on NBC's Meet the Press.
I'm not going to tell people to get in and out of this. I didn't ask Speaker Gingrich to get in. I'm not going to ask him to get out.
Voting will be held in Mississippi, Alabama, and Hawaii tomorrow. Whitney Houston's daughter, 19-year-old Bobby Christina Brown, says she still feels like her mother is with her.
I can hear her voice, you know, in spirit talking to me and telling me, you know, keep moving, baby. I'm right here. I got you.
Brown spoke with the Oprah Winfrey Network in her first interview since her mother died last month. A new study done in 10 cities across the U.S. found HIV rates for black women were 5 times higher than the numbers reported by the CDC. Study author Dr. Carlos Del Rio says what puts these women at risk are the associated factors like substance abuse and poverty.
Stigma has always had something to do with the HIV epidemic, and I think is one of the most difficult things to deal with.
Del Rio says it's clear the AIDS epidemic in the U.S. is not gone. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real-life Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get all the service you need and save money on gas. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver Package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See our participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 3/31/12. Claim based on EPA averages.
Stop into Lowe's today and take advantage of great savings for your home. Like 10% off major appliances, $299 or more. And you can power through March with DeWalt Days at Lowe's, where you'll find great values on your favorite DeWalt tools, like an 18-volt drill for just $99. That's a savings of $90. Plus, you can pick up a DeWalt 18-volt cordless compact drill kit for only $199. That's a $50 savings. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 3/19. See store for details.
Shortly after the financial collapse of 2008, you may recall the Fed Reserve conducted so-called stress tests of big banks, gauging their financial health. We get results of another round of stress tests this week. And the New York Times says hopes are high the banking industry will demonstrate greatly improved balance sheets, at least for most institutions. When Barnes & Noble watched Borders, its arch-rival bookstore business, go under last year, it knew the time had come for new ideas. One of those, a store within a store, is moving beyond small-scale testing. 10 Barnes & Noble stores in New York and Minnesota have 200-square-foot Penguin publishing boutiques inside them since last fall. Wall Street Journal says 25 more stores across the nation soon will get them. Now the super start to the week for markets. Japan's Nikkei slipped about 0.5%. European stock markets are modestly lower. Right now, S&P futures are down 1 point. NASDAQ futures losing 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by May 31st, 2012 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon just by using your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card linked to SpeedPass. Maximum 100 gallons per account eligible for rebate. Offer valid for only one account per person. Allow 90 days to receive rebates.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Gentlemen,
I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Who are you?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now.
And welcome. Sorry about that. A little anxious to get started our second hour. Just realized that the clocks are still off here. Well, not that clock's on, but that clock's off. But for those of you that didn't do it, got to set your clocks ahead an hour. Forgot to mention that in last hour. Welcome back. 7 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday morning, the 12th day of March 2012. And we've got an amazing hour lined up for you. But as we are in the process of getting my guest, and we will have him eventually, want to remind you of a few things. Number one, I will start my a little sabbatical on Wednesday. So tomorrow will be my last day until I have surgery. For those of you that are not aware that I'm having surgery, I'm having gastric bypass to get my health back in order. Very much looking forward to getting that done and getting it behind me and moving forward and getting healthier. And I want to thank all of you who have been so supportive. That's number one. Number two, I will be sitting in for Ed Schultz today. And in all parts of the world, maybe not the world, but in all parts of the country, Ed and Tom Hartman are switching time. Well, not really switching time slots. Ed has been delayed here in Detroit until 3 o'clock for a long time. We are now, he is now going to be, although he has always been on 12 to 3, he will now be live in Detroit. So you're going to find Ed's on this afternoon at 12, and Tom will be on live at 3. And that was a decision that was made some weeks back. So that's a change for all you folks. So you need to be prepared for that. Those of you who are expecting Tom at noon are going to get Ed, and then today, actually, you're going to get Tony. And so looking forward to being on the Ed Schultz show. And so as soon as I'm done with today's show, I got to start, for us, I've got to start preparing for Ed's show at noon. And then I have to, as soon as I'm done with that, start preparing for tomorrow's show here. If you don't think I got a lot going on the next few days, and I'm so glad that I do, because to be honest with you, time is starting to drag a little bit, knowing that I'm having surgery. So I'm looking forward to getting that out of the way and moving forward. No question about that. We do not have our guest quite yet. So once we get him, we'll bring him to you. In the meantime, we'll throw the number out there and get some other information going. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Don't forget us on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. That's Truppiano. I do want to quickly mention, my good friend Linda sends me this, that Wednesday, the Jocelyn Benson and Gary Peters will be speaking at the West Bloomfield Democrats Club, that's on Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Corners on Inkster and Walnut. And Jocelyn Benson will be talking about the initiative, the Constitutional Amendment Initiative, they're hoping a lot of people show up, of course. Gary Peters is an amazing speaker, so I just wanted to mention that to all of you. in the area. If you are not a member of the West Bloomfield Democratic Club, they have a very large and active group, and you just might be surprised how many Democrats there are in West Bloomfield, a lot more than you might think. I spoke to that group some months back now, but thoroughly enjoyed my time there a great deal. Speaking of speaking at events, I have one tomorrow. I'll be speaking to a retirees group at a UAW local, and I'll get you that information tomorrow because I just don't remember the local number right off the top of my head. But Saturday, Jeffrey Radford, as you know, instead of going to the convention, I spent my time with Ed Potasnick and the people of the United Way as they sponsored a training that happened to be in Lake Orion at one of the UAW locals. I think it was 5920 or 5960 or something along those lines. Anyway, the beautiful building, by the way. And went and spoke to that group, and I was the last person on the agenda. So I'm always a little nervous when I'm the last person on the agenda because people have been sitting there all day long, and you just wonder if you're going to be able to get their attention and to keep their attention. And we did okay. They were very, very gracious to me, and I enjoyed doing that. But I've got to tell you, Ed continues to do, Jeff, just amazing work with the United Way and making sure that labor is brought into the loop. Of course, the United Way is not just a labor-only organization, but labor has done a lot for the United Way. It volunteers thousands upon thousands of hours every year, and not to mention man hours, but also thousands upon thousands of dollars in donations as well. So it was just so great to get out. And, of course, even the weather on Saturday was pretty damn nice. No complaints.
It was a little cold in the morning, though, wasn't it?
Saturday? I wasn't out in the morning.
I heard somebody wrote this, and I completely agree, and not to sidetrack, but Michigan is the only place where you can have 18 degrees one day and 70 the next.
Well, you could actually do that in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
But it's not nearly as nice.
No, it's
Michigan,
not.
For gosh sake.
I feel actually, this weekend was, of course, stunning. Especially yesterday was absolutely beautiful. This morning, again, didn't need to start the car. It wasn't really cool enough outside to need to warm up the car before we left. So I did get my beautiful Ford F-150 born in Dearborn, Michigan, by the way. Washed yesterday. She looks so beautiful, both inside and out. And there's nothing like being in a clean car. Wouldn't we all agree on that? I mean, it just she's just sparkling clean today. Looks brand spanking new. Absolutely. So got that done. But I can see, you get to this time of year, and again, I'm not quite willing to concede that we're done with snow, but you start going, okay. Because my wife and I are really into yard work. And so you start looking and you go, well, this needs to be raked and that needs to be done. And it's way too early for that, of course. But I just get so chomping at the bit, excited when the weather just gets a little bit warm. And I got to tell you, for more, and this is going to sound a little lame, but it's the truth. I enjoy, especially on the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, I enjoy grabbing the newspaper and sitting out on the back porch and reading the paper and drinking coffee for however long that takes. I'm an early riser even on the weekends. I mean, that's one of the negatives, unfortunately, to getting up as early as we do, at least for me. I don't know if this is true for Jeff and Anthony. Well, I know it's not true for Anthony, for Jeff, but I can't sleep on the weekend. I mean, I don't sleep till 7, 8, 9 o'clock. God, I wish I did. Vinny, our dog, has gone to... Jeff, this has actually been, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, but because I usually let Vinny, I let Vinny out every morning about 4:15 or so to go to the bathroom, and then he runs around a little bit, and we have a little bit of fun in the morning. I've noticed that the last couple weekends that, if I sleep past 6 o'clock, he starts barking. And so I don't get to sleep now. He gets me up.
Lovely part of having a dog.
Well, I'd rather he do that, and so I can let him out, because I certainly don't want him suffering in his little crate. I also would like to sleep in. And even if I'm not sleeping in, sometimes you don't want to necessarily wake up and have to wake up instantaneously like that. Because once he's up, he's up. I mean, the dog doesn't take much. They go outside, then they're ready to go, and, you know, he wants to come in the house and wants me to chase him and get a snack, and he's all excited, and it's like, dude, it's way too early for this.
But at dogs don't understand. At least your dog only barks. When I was dog-sitting my parents' dog, she either licks your face or walks on top of your forehead.
Well, you know, we have Vinny in a crate. Vinny sleeps in a crate. So that wouldn't happen anyway. And although I have been tempted to put Vinny in bed and go back to bed, to put Vinny in bed with us and go back to bed, I just have a feeling it wouldn't work out very well, so I don't do that. And that might also be a dangerous precedent to set as well. As much as we spoil that dog, that's not necessarily where I'm looking to go at this point. So anyway, I just I got to tell you, it just both Saturday morning and Sunday morning, he barked to be let out, and then once he was out, he was out. He was ready. And that was the end of that. So so that's one of the things I miss about the warm weather. When the weather's nicer, of course, I'll be able to send Vinny outside, leave him out there for a little while, and while I make my coffee, and then I can join him. In the warmer months, I don't mind getting up a little earlier and going out. Truly, I do not. But that is what that is. But hey, just felt great to have the kind of weekend we had. We do have by the way, in the next hour, so I mentioned this very quickly, we do have Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. They did have their endorsement convention this weekend. We'll be talking about that amongst other issues. And we have Chris Savage from Eclectablog as well. So really looking forward to getting to that. Mondays have become this massive information clearinghouse day for us. We just no easy days on first shift anymore. That's for darn sure. And, Jeff, I will say this before we go to the break, and we'll get to the caller after the break. I will say this. I don't know that I ever want to do five guests in an hour again.
That was insane.
That was a little bit crazy. That was just a little bit crazy. I don't remember. Was that Friday that we did that? Yeah, that was on Friday.
Yep, Friday.
And man, did that hour, I mean, literally disappeared in a flat second. Very quick break here. Amir's on the line. We're going to get to him in just a minute, but we do have to take a quick break. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. Good Monday morning to you. This is First Shift. And you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break, and we'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine on the freeways. No reports of any major accidents or delays in the Metro Detroit area. If you're headed down towards Toledo, 75 southbound at Collingwood, that is currently closed down in the Toledo area. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Good morning. The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain, some thunderstorms possible as well. In fact, the rain has moved its way into the Ann Arbor area now already. A high near 61 tonight. A chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low around 49. Then Tuesday, a chance of showers early, mostly sunny. Otherwise, a high near 61. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
recently on First Shift.
HUD Secretary Sean Donovan, and certainly, Mr. Secretary, education is going to be critically important to with this program. Well, does this address mortgage fraud or, more importantly, foreclosure fraud at all?
Well, what it does is make sure that where there was fraud committed by these servicers, that they are held accountable. This is the largest action of the entire crisis to hold banks accountable, $25 billion in total. But your listeners should be very careful about other kinds of scammers and fraud. We know, given the scale of what we're doing here, that there are going to be people out there claiming, well, we can help you get access to the settlement, just pay us a few thousand dollars up front. And what I want to make sure your listeners know, if they need help, HUD-certified housing counselors will provide that help for free, and they can call the HOPE hotline at 888-995-HOPE to get help.
First Shift with Tony Trillo
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, we go to the phones and welcome Amir in Detroit. My brother, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Tony. How are you today, sir?
Good, thank you. Did you have a nice weekend?
Oh, great. How about you?
Awesome, man. Yeah. With that weather, it's kind of hard not to have a nice weekend.
I know, and look at it this week. It's going to be very nice this week.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you this morning?
Just basically wanted to say that I was talking to a guy at my job, and, you know, he'd been sick all week, and I was telling him to, you know, take off, and he couldn't take off because he'll get a point. He couldn't let go early, and he was telling me about his wife has, you know, sick time, and we don't get sick time at our job. And I was telling him, you know, sick time used to be a federal law that you used to have to at least give one or 2 days. I'm not sure exactly how many. And I said, but it was cut out in the 90s under the Republican Congress. And he's a staunch Republican. He loves Republicans, think there's too much regulation on businesses. And I said, that's one of the regulations that they eliminated from businesses. So he, you know, now he's starting to think a little bit more about all this deregulation that the Republicans have been hollering about. And I tell them every time they holler deregulation, what it is cutting out a lot of workers' rights.
Yeah, and I don't know why people continue to not understand the significance of that, but sadly they do. I don't. You know, Amir, it seems to me, you know, we basically focus on the two political parties. Now we know that there are people that have other points of view. So, but for the point of our discussion, we really do need to focus on the two political parties. You know, and I think, you know, okay, there are vast differences between Republicans and Democrats, and, you know, we have a wide chasm in things that we agree in and disagree on. There's no question that's true. I just don't understand, Amir, the disconnect. That some of these people, maybe it's because they just don't want to be wrong. It's that simple. Maybe it, you know, maybe I'm oversimplifying it. I don't know. But I can't fathom being a Republican today because they're so fractured. They so don't get it. They so have made such a mess out of the economy, out of legislation. You know, they have forced this Congress to have an approval rating of under 10%. It's just insane, brother.
Very true. And that's just like a guy at our job got hurt. And, you know, he has to go to therapy. And I'm like, okay. And they tell me he got to punch out and everything. I'm like, whoa, hold on. Y'all don't pay the man for going to therapy even though he was hurt on the job, at your job, doing your job? So, you know, so as I'm telling these guys, you know, you all have sitting up here and voted yourself, your rights away. I said, you voting them your rights away, and you all, the way the Republicans get them is, it's called the fear-mongering of the black man. They've been doing that since the day we've been in this country. If working class whites stop fearing just regular black people and start understanding we all have the same issues, we all have the same problems, and we all want the same things in life, we'll actually turn our country around, and working class Americans actually will become better.
Yeah, well, you couldn't have said it any better. And thank you for the call, Amir. I think you bet, brother. I just... You know, fundamentally, people say, well, see, now Amir just pulled the race card. He did not pull the race card. He talked truth to power. The average white guy is afraid of the average black guy. If you don't work with people of color or minorities, you do tend to fear them because you believe whatever stereotype it is that's ingrained in your misinformed head. And I get that, and that's okay because... You know, years ago, I was giving a speech and I talked about until we start to worship together, all people worship together, we will never close that racial divide in this country because we worship separately, and we do, for all intents and purposes, worship separately. Go into any church or synagogue or place of worship in this country, and you're not going to see... Very rarely, very few churches will you see an even mix of white and black and Hispanic and Asian people. Very rare to see that. Very rare. I mean, you can go and do a place of worship and see all white people. You can go and see all black people. Oh, sure, maybe dotted here or there with a white guy or here or there with a, you know, a black guy or an Asian guy. But it's very rare. It's very rare. And I don't know why that is. I keep on waiting, thinking we've evolved to a certain degree, and we have, but there are just so many areas where we just don't, and this has nothing to do with politics, there are just so many areas that we just don't get it. I mean, we just don't get it, that there is some important and major work that needs to be done in order to bridge this ongoing racial divide in this country. How unfortunate and sad that is, but it is one of the realities. Yeah, Amir said it right. I mean, you know, they're white guys fear black guys. They truly do. Why that is, I don't know. Do they need to? Absolutely not. And do we all share the same goals and concerns and passions? We absolutely do. And again, that we judge somebody based on the color of their skin or we make assumptions based on the color of their skin, just says about how much further we need to go before we get it. And I don't know when that's going to happen. I thought maybe it would happen in my lifetime, as I'm now well over 50. Well, not well over, but I'm over 50. Yeah, I really started to just kind of come to terms with the fact that I can continue to advance the dialogue, and I'm happy to do that. And I will continue to advance the dialogue, you know, and hopefully, if we change a mind here and a mind there, that's progress, and I'll take it. On Saturday, when I spoke at the United Way event, I talked to people about changing hearts and minds and doing it one at a time. And, you know, sometimes we don't take advantage of that opportunity. But more importantly, I don't think we appreciate if we change a single mind, how significant that is. We don't need to, this doesn't need to be about a massive movement on a daily basis where thousands upon thousands of people are following us. Politics shouldn't be a cult. Politics should be a philosophy that you feel comfortable in and then comfortable changing once you get involved with it. This idea, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't change things is, of course, a fallacy, because things can be changed, and you can be a member of the Democratic Party and still want to change some of the things they do. It's not that I agree with everything the Democrats do. I don't. And I've shared that on this show when it comes up from time to time. On the other side of the aisle, Republicans, up until I think this campaign, at least over the last 25 or 30 years, Republicans just in lockstep agreed because they wanted to look They wanted to look like they had their stuff together. And you know what? It worked. And they did start to grow. And they did start, and but interestingly, they did it by not providing an education as to what they're about or to providing a foundation to what they're about. It was really about, you know, capitalizing on fears and misplaced desires and then making promises that you never plan to keep. And then to make sure that you continue to incite the fear in people to keep them going. You know, this idea, and we talk about soccer moms during the George Bush years, how he won the soccer mom vote. He won that by keeping them afraid. You know, statistically, you know, this is true because they polled this stuff. That's how they know this stuff. It's sad. It's scary. All right, we're going to get to some more audio on the other side. A lot to do yet, so you're going to want to stay right where you're at. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're not looking at any delays out there on the freeways as of yet, so it seems to be an easy commute for a Monday morning. Let's hope it stays that way. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain, thunderstorms also possible today. In fact, the rain's already moved into the southwestern suburbs, so keep an eye out for that. It's on its way. A high near 61 tonight. A chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low around 49. Tomorrow, breezy. A chance of showers early in the morning. Mostly sunny, a high near 61. Right now, it's cloudy and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. 1 year ago today, an estimated 100,000 people descended on the Capitol Square in Madison, Wisconsin to show their solidarity in opposition to legislation that had been signed by Governor Scott Walker one day prior, taking collective bargaining rights away from Wisconsin public employees. Doug Cunningham reported from the square on that unseasonably warm March day.
Well over 100,000 people demonstrated and marched for worker rights in Madison, Wisconsin over the weekend during a day-long rally that included a farm labor tractorcade. 50 tractors joined firefighters, off-duty police, teachers, and other people of all ages from every walk of life in solidarity against the gutting of collective bargaining rights for Wisconsin public workers. Wisconsin's Fab 14 state Democratic senators, who had been blocking a vote destroying public worker collective bargaining, returned from Illinois to a hero's welcome in Madison. Senate Minority Leader Mark Miller.
We have returned to Wisconsin to thank the people who have, with their voices, in their marches, in their rallies here in Madison and around the state, to protest the stripping away of the rights of employees in the state of Wisconsin. They have inspired us. They have created a new dynamic, a new political dynamic in the state of Wisconsin that says, respect workers, respect citizens. We are here to join them in that fight.
Senator Fred Risser is in his 80s and has been serving in the state Senate since the 1950s.
The war is not over. The fight for workers' rights is continuing. It's a real privilege to participate in this, and I want to thank everyone who has helped us on this. The people, the crowds around the Capitol, we watched those on TV, and they were stimulating to us, and they kept us going. It's a remarkable experience. It's not over yet.
The rally is believed to be the largest in the state's history and acted as the transition date from occupying the square and state house to actively seeking the recall of the governor and a number of state senators seen as enablers to the governor's agenda. Two of those senators were recalled over the summer of 2011, and the governor, his lieutenant governor Rebecca Clefish, and four state senators including Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald will all likely face recall elections in the coming months.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us.
First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us, love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Punch it in! I'd like to know what happened to that audio I sent months ago of a time clock punching in. It just disappears.
I know, because that would make things sound so much better right now.
You know, I could hand the show over to you.
I just think it's funny. You did a great time clock with your mouth, so why don't we just use that one?
Okay. Anyway, very sad and somber note. Everybody that follows the news knows that there was an American soldier that killed in cold blood 16 Afghans yesterday. Many of them, most of them, women and children. That's a tough one. We don't know the details. We don't know why. But we do know at the end of the day, this creates a further problem for the White House, for the Defense Department, for our U.S. military. Begs the question, is it time to get out now? For those of you that aren't following this story as closely as perhaps others, there has been some discussion that the U.S. military is in negotiations with the Afghan government to keep us there beyond 2014. I don't know that to be a fact. I'm just going on what I read from, you know, a Pentagon source. Senator Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, was on CNN with Candy Crowley yesterday. And this is what he had to say about the Afghan shooting.
Well, of course, our hearts go out to these innocent people. One of our soldiers went into a couple of homes and just killed people at random. Very, very sad, especially following that incident dealing with the Korans. It's just not a good situation. Our troops are under such tremendous pressure in Afghanistan. It's a war like no other war we've been involved in. But no one can condone or make any suggestion that what he did was right, because it was absolutely wrong. I think that we're on the right track to get out of Afghanistan just as soon as we can. There's a way we have stabilized some of the provinces there. There's conversations going on with Karzai now. We've turned over the big prison to them. In the next 6 months, we'll turn that over to them. So I think our timetable is pretty good. We're moving out, as the president said, and I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, doesn't really address accelerating that date, and maybe that doesn't make sense. You know, again, there's so many things that need to happen in order to do that. And it's very easy, again, for Newt Gingrich yesterday attacked the president. If we have time, we'll get into this, get the timetable of withdrawing in Afghanistan. I don't think you can just wake up on a Monday morning and say, you know, enough's enough, we got to go. It's not that simple. As much as we would like to believe, some of us, that it is that simple, it is not. And especially the pro-peace people. Harry Reid goes on to talk about the Senate and the chances this November. This is what he had to say.
Let me, I want to put up some numbers for our audience. The question, you've seen these polls, how is Congress handling its job? The approval rating for Congress right now is 10%. The disapproval rating is 82%. I wonder if you believe at this moment that you will hold on to the majority in the U.S. Senate on the day after the election.
First of all, if they had polled me, I would have been in with the majority here. I think Congress looks bad. I think the obstructionism we've had over the last two Congresses, but especially this one, has turned the American people. What the Republicans have done, stopping us from doing the most simple things.
Is it all their fault?
As I indicated, what you had to introduce your show, why does everything have to be a fight? There shouldn't be a fight. We should be able to get things done. They're routine, and we haven't been able to do that. But we feel really good. We've had some tremendous, we've had some good fortune in North Dakota, in Massachusetts, in Nevada, in Arizona. We have good candidates all over, and I feel very comfortable about where we're going to wind up in
November.
You
think you'll wind up with the majority?
I sure do.
Yep, and I'm not going to obviously disagree with that. I think that the Democrats will wind up with the majority. No question that they're certainly on track to do that. The polling numbers would suggest that that's true, and strategy also suggests that that's true. And so we wait, we wait, we wait. You know, a lot of this, of course, is dependent on what's happening with the front runners for the presidency. For those of you that aren't aware, this weekend, Rick Santorum won the caucus in Kansas, and Mitt Romney took the Wyoming. I don't even know if that was a caucus. I don't even know what they call what they did in Wyoming. But he won it nonetheless. So whatever that's all about, he won that one. Delegate-wise, you know, to remind you that, Rick Santorum is 200 delegates behind. I think that's where he's at. And Mitt Romney says that not only does that make him the front runner, that means that everybody else should get out, which they're not going to do. Newt Gingrich was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. Of course, Newt's colorful as always, had lots of things to say. And this is what Newt Gingrich tells Chris Wallace tells Chris Wallace why Mitt Romney is the weakest front runner since 1920?
All right, hold on.
Okay, while we're getting that, Jeff will let me know when it's ready. But we got this problem with the mouse in there. And every now and then it rears its ugly head, as it's doing right now. Not yet? Okay. We'll come back. We'll come back to the Newt Gingrich stuff. In fact, we'll come back to the audio altogether. I do want to let you know that as I'm sitting here staring, we are 18 people away from hitting that magical 1,000 likes on Facebook. Now, again, I've been asking, although you guys have been very good, and then my friend AJ O'Neill got us 15 in a couple hours one day, which was awfully cool. But we get closer, so if you haven't yet, or if you know somebody that might like First Shift on Facebook, would you have them go ahead and do it? I also want to let you know about our First Shift poll question of the day today, and it's a simple one based on an article I read early this morning in the Free Press. You'll find it at freep.com. Will the youth vote be a critical factor in the 2012 presidential elections? And as of right now, for those that have voted, it's overwhelmingly yes. Only one person voting no at this point. As of, I'm sure many of you know, the youth vote was critical to helping get the president elected in 2008. And here we are, 2012, right on top of us. And how important is that youth vote? Very important. Here's the question. I don't think the question, quite simply, is, does he need the youth vote? It's will they get the turnout? That's the question we have to ask ourselves: is will they get the youth vote to turn out? You were successfully able to do it in 2008. Will you be able to do it in 2012? The Republicans are not going to get the youth vote. They're not. Young people just don't resonate with the GOP. They, for the most part, they don't. They really don't get the GOP, and that doesn't surprise me. Because they're curmudgeon-y old guys for the most part. For the most part. They're just very unhappy, shrivelly people that just don't seem to get it. So it is what it is. So that's not the issue. The issue is will they, yes, it's critical, but will the Obama campaign get the youth vote back out? And I think that a lot of that will have to do with how engaged they get them in the reelection campaign. Because that's what happened in 2008. Is that there were so many young people that worked for the Obama campaign, and of course they had really tied into social media. The Obama campaign used social media for the first time better than anybody ever had. And in fact, and I'm sure this is still true, but if you were if part of their text network, you would get information first from the campaign. So it was very, very interesting. Very, very interesting to watch that unfold. So the youth vote is critical. The question again is, Will they get the youth vote to turn out? And that's something that they have to do. And that's on the, again, the GOP is not going to get that vote. So it's up to the Democrats to get that vote out. And I'm sure that they will. I'm sure there will be a strategy for that. You'd be amazed at the inner workings of politics, folks, in those smoky back rooms of lore. You'd be amazed at all these different strategy sessions and how months in advance they lay this stuff out and they start designing literature. It's really an impressive process. I mean, it truly is. And I'm sure it's as true on the Republican side. I'm not privy, to their technologies. I don't know what they do and frankly don't really need to know what they do. I see what they do and it's enough for me, but it's fascinating because I've been around this for such a long time on the Democratic side. It's fascinating to watch, strategy come together, especially when it works. And nothing works better than Get Out the Vote, which is also known as GOTV. And that is, first of all, the UAW is, I think they've refined the science of GOTV, because they, when they put a network of people together, trust me, they got it covered. Now, I will say this, because this is awesome. I've been on two canvassing campaigns with the UFCW and the anti-Walmart campaign we were doing in the mid-2000s. Folks, you'd be amazed how many people show up to handbill neighborhoods, to talk to people, to knock on doors. Labor's awesome at that stuff. I mean, they really are. All right, Occupy Detroit on the other side of this. In the meantime, we're going to take a real quick break here and get to that. Luciana Sabgash will be joining us from Occupy Detroit. So let's take the break, and we'll come back on 1310 WDTW and talk about it.
First Shift with Tony Trujano.
Whether you're a teacher or a small businesswoman or a nurse or a janitor, no woman's health should depend on who she is, or where she works, or how much money she makes. Every woman should be in control of the decisions that affect her own health. Period.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us
at
Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Are drugs affecting your family or a friend? Call Narcanon, 1-800-468-6933.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And indeed it is that time, which means it's 7:50 here on 1310 WDTW. And it is time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Joining me is Luciana Sabgash. And Luciana, I got to ask, you haven't been on with me in a while. Are they hiding you from me?
No, I've been busy running around.
Okay.
I'm a morning person, but I'm usually busy, organizing large events like the one we have coming up tomorrow.
Okay, and we're going to talk about what's coming up tomorrow, so why don't we just go there?
We have it's the National Day of Action Against Chase Banks. Of course, we're going to weigh in and do something here with the Chase Bank branch downtown. We're going to gather and march on the bank. I'm expecting a pretty large turnout. I'm one of the people organizing marshalling, so I'm always making sure everyone's safe. And then we're doing things just right and getting our message delivered the way we'd like it, completely coherently, because we're building quite a coalition these days around the banks, and this has become very much a national issue. The grocery list of organizations involved these days is amazing. I can't give enough love to the UAW, AFSCME, Occupy Detroit, New Bottom Line, National Organizing Class. It's amazing. We have a large coalition. We're coming out of the spring strong.
You know, it's interesting, Luciana, as you know, when we were talking about this briefly on Friday, you know, there were some people, and I think this is a conversation worth repeating, there were some people that after you guys broke camp at the beginning of winter, that was somehow going to be the end of the Occupy movement. And, of course, that wasn't true, and in many ways, the Occupy movement has grown and has been able to focus on lots of wonderful projects. But when I use the word wonderful, you know, I use that with a bit of caution because we are still fighting for the 99%, and very specifically within that 99%, those that are horribly affected by foreclosures and other issues. Without Occupy Detroit, my God, Luciana, where would some of these folks be?
I feel like we're late. I feel like there's so much more we could have been doing. I think that changing the dialogue in the fall got more people in the mix and more people diligent. I think it gave the homeowners a chance to stand up and say, I need help. I'm part of the 99%. It gave them room to jump over the shame and organize together to unify their communities and say, no, I'm not leaving. And a lot of groups are working on these things already, but it just changed the conversation where everyone was finally together and in the same situation to agree that we can do this. I love working on foreclosure defense, and I love working more at root causes of foreclosure defense. And I love that every family I've been, it's very different. I was highly involved in the encampment, and it was important to me, and it was very on the ground, one day at a time, one person at a time. And foreclosure defense is one family at a time, and it's so hard not to become personally involved with these families and feel for them and understand how wrong and unjust and unfair this process is.
Well, you know, and unfortunately, it is true. I mean, these are true stories. They're not stories that we manufacture. Where, you know, it's not convenient, if you will, Luciana, that, you know, you've got somebody like Elma Counts, who is, you know, partially paralyzed, that has been through this horrific experience, that really just wants a little peace of mind. And that's all they're asking for, is a little peace of mind, live within their means, which they know that they can do. And yet you've got big, bad corporate America, which people, maybe some people don't want to recognize as being that, but it really is big, bad corporate America going after the little guy, for God's sake.
Well, you don't see commercials fighting for families. That's just messaging. You see commercials talking about banks being amazing and how they help families, and that's not true. We're all caught in the machine here, and we have to stand together and draw a line, and they've been depending on people's shame to let this continue to go on. We really need to, like, understand that this isn't right. This isn't someone's fault. It's not a homeowner's fault that they're trying to do everything. They asked for refis and asking for a refi in this loan. In many cases, it's turning into a foreclosure defense. Just asking for help opens the doorway for the bank to take advantage. And the system is set up for the banks benefit from taking these homes, not from benefiting from helping the family.
Well, you know, it's interesting, although we've talked, and I think it was Thursday that the press event where Cindy Estrada was involved. And for whatever reason, that particular Occupy movement got a lot of response here on the show. And I think there are a couple people that we sent to Occupy Detroit for some foreclosure defense. And unfortunately, it was Chase that really kind of, for whatever reason, Chase really shook the trees loose for some folks. And I'm astounded when I hear these stories of people just trying to do the right thing, and the only thing that happens is that they're harassed and ridiculed and made to feel lesser than, and all they want to do is do the right thing, and it just blows my mind. And again, where would these folks be without the Occupy movement? At the end of the day, they would be literally out of their homes, and we're not talking about deadbeat people, Luciana. That's the part that really frustrates me.
They're good people who contribute to their communities that, like, who just don't want to, you know, they don't want to say, I'm in trouble. That Thursday's action, it was one of my favorite actions. We had 200 people sitting on a front lawn. We canvassed the neighborhood in advance. And this is northern Detroit at Alma's house. And people came out of the woodwork, came on the block, and were like, what are all of you doing in that front lawn? And we're like, we're trying to keep this person in their home. And they're like, do you know her? And I was like, no, but I believe in this. And they were like, how can I get involved? Like, no one really, like, we're used to protest downtown, and I do love protest downtown. I love going at the throat of the bank and barking up trees, but I also really love those going up into a neighborhood that's just riddled with cars. It normally would be quiet, no place. It's a normal neighborhood, and you see this huge crowd in front of this house, and everyone is on point. They believe in keeping these people in the home. They will be there till the very last, and a lot of times the homeowners need encouragement. If they need that support to say, yes, it's okay to make a stand. We're here with you. And even though I don't own a home, I have a stake in this.
Well, you know,
and it's empowering.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, it kind of goes back to something that I address a lot on this show. And when I go speak out into the communities, you know, this idea that, you know, that showing up, again, is, and we were talking about this earlier, is good, but you know, it's not enough. You've got to stand up. It's what you do once you show up that matters. And we are seeing, as you're saying, in that neighborhood, who wants it? Who wants more empty homes in their neighborhood? No one does. I mean, you know, who wants to see people beaten down by, quote unquote, the man? No one does. And so it's wonderful that people are standing up to this. Luciana, we're just out of time for today. Thank you so much. And of course, we're there for you.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for this hour. We'll take the break. Mark Brewer and Chris Savage in the next hour. I'm Tony Truppiano. Russ coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays out there on 94 westbound between Cadieux and 75. 75 northbound between West and Sibley. You'll find some slowdowns there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Today, rain, thunderstorms also possible. A high near 61. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy. A low in the upper 40s to around 50. And then Tuesday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 60s. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the
42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Topping our news this hour, the American soldier suspected of killing 16 people in Afghanistan had served multiple tours of duty in Iraq, but this was his first deployment in Afghanistan. A U.S. military official says the suspect is in his mid-30s. CNN's Barbara Starr says there may be some tough consequences for U.S. forces in Afghanistan.
The Taliban are already claiming that there will be violence, that there will be retaliation, really obviously trying to stir things up. That is to be expected in Afghanistan. Rudimentary communications, it may be several days before word of this really filters out across the country.
A human rights network is telling about brutal killings in the Syrian city of Homs. It says at least 45 women and children were killed late Sunday. People in Mississippi, Alabama, and Hawaii will have their chance to vote in the Republican presidential race tomorrow. Rick Santorum campaigned in the South after winning Kansas on Saturday.
People here in Mississippi who built a great state and a great tradition, your honor is on the line. You will have to look at your children one day.
Santorum says he believes he can still catch Delegate Leader Mitt Romney. Illinois was turned down in its request for federal disaster money following the tornadoes that devastated the state. Senator Dick Durbin says he can't believe FEMA's decision.
I was there a little over a week ago and saw it firsthand. I've never seen worse tornado damage. We're in contact with Senator Kirk's office, and we are going to have a joint appeal of this federal decision.
FEMA said in a letter to Governor Pat Quinn the damage wasn't severe enough to get federal help. It's no wonder so many people are riding mass transit with gas prices this high. The American Public Transportation Association says ridership on the nation's trains and buses topped $10 billion last year, hitting one of the highest levels in decades. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, and Wagner Thermo Quiet. In stock and at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brake parts from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea, most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When gasoline prices reached record highs in summer 2008, interest in low gas mileage cars, especially hybrids, hit fever pitch. We are seeing history repeat itself. As regular gas prices hit a nationwide average of $3.81 a gallon, according to the new Lundberg survey, rental car companies say requests for hybrids and all-electric vehicles are rising. So USA Today says also rising are the numbers of hybrids and electrics the renters now own. This week we hear from the Fed. The scheduled policy meeting by Ben Bernanke's Open Market Committee is tomorrow, but we'll be getting more than just the latest on interest rates and stimulus efforts. The Fed also will be releasing results of the latest bank stress tests. And the New York Times reports expectations are high that the news will be good, showing greater stability and rising balance sheets among the major financial players. Stock futures slipping a bit more deeply into the red this hour. S&P futures down 2, NASDAQ futures sliding 4. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by May 31st, 2012 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon just by using your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card linked to SpeedPass. Maximum 100 gallons per account eligible for rebate. Offer valid for only one account per person. Allow 90 days to receive rebates.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. It is just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock here on Monday, the 12th day of March, 2012. A pleasure to be with each and every one of you. And we've got another full hour of radio for you. Mark Brewer will be with us in just a moment. Chris Savage joins us at the bottom of the hour for our blog roll segment. And lots of other stuff as we can fit it in between now and 9 o'clock. For me, it's kind of a fortunate day because I get to extend my time on air. For those of you that I have not told yet, at noon today, I will be sitting in for Ed Schultz doing his national show, all 3 hours of his national show today. So I will be, I doubt that I ever get talked out, but we'll see what happens by 3 o'clock. By the way, Ed and Tom Hartman are switching time slots here on 1310. For those of you that weren't aware, Ed was taped late 3 hours, and he will now be on live, as will Tom Hartman. Tom is moving till 3 o'clock, so that's a little bit of a program change that you need to be aware of. But all things being equal, I'm looking forward to sitting in for Big Eddie today. With that said, let's go ahead and get some intros and get this thing going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This is really governed by press release. I'm trying to get as hard as possible for people to find out how to vote and actually get out and vote. They're doing everything they can to try to minimize turnout among people who tend to vote Democratic, because they believe that that helps them maintain their grip on power.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
Indeed, it is that time in a busy weekend. There's lots to talk about today, constitutional amendments, and, of course, the convention that was on Saturday. And, Mark, although I had committed to helping out our good friends at the United Way at a training in Lake Orion, which is where I was on Saturday, I understand that you had a wonderful turnout and a great endorsement convention on Saturday. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Tony. Yeah, no, it very much exceeded our expectations. We had over 1,500 delegates, which is a big convention for us, even when we're nominating folks. And I would guess there's probably at least a couple thousand folks there total. We had a lot of visitors, a lot of other folks who wanted to participate in what was going on. Standing room only in the convention hall, lots of energy, lots of excitement. So it was a great kickoff for us, really kind of formal kickoff to the 2012 campaign.
And again, Mark, part of the reason, certainly a big part of the reason you did this, and of course, I want to make clear that these are not this is not the final say. That the candidates that were endorsed on Saturday is part of a process that will go on. With that said, Mark, this really does give those that are running statewide an opportunity to start networking and raising money and getting their name out there.
Absolutely. You know, we planned this over a year ago, Tony. We were looking at the calendar saying, you know, how do we work, you know, get the energy going? How do we get the campaign going? And that was our idea, that we could pull everybody together, do these endorsements this weekend of these 11 candidates, pull everybody together, and launch them off. And that certainly happened on Saturday, and it also worked out very, very well in terms of the petition drives that are out there. So, again, it was a great kickoff, a lot of energy. I think really got the party united and moving in a good direction for the fall.
Well, I wasn't there as I was in Lake Orion, but somebody told me that Senator Stabenow sent a video that had people screaming and yelling for her.
Yeah, no, it's a terrific video. That video will be circulated statewide today. It'll be up on our website as well. And there's going to be enormous follow-up to all the stuff that happened on Saturday. We'll be making sure all of our activists around the state know about our 8 Education Board candidates, our 3 Supreme Court candidates. We had videos about each of them. We had a video about the terrible agenda of the existing Supreme Court. A lot of information. We'll be getting the petition. We'll be helping the labor movement get their petitions out on collective bargaining as well as the corporate accountability proposal. So there's an enormous amount of follow-up work, but the foundation has been laid, and people are eager to get that information. Heck, Tony, we had a training yesterday on a Sunday morning in Detroit. Over 100 activists and party leaders showed up for a training and spent the day getting training on a wide variety of topics. Lots of, again, enthusiasm and energy there.
Well, it's amazing. And no disrespect to the other candidates, Mark. I do want to focus in on the Supreme Court candidates today. And my promise to this audience is that all of the people that were endorsed on Saturday, we will make every effort to get them on this show as a guest so that the audience can get to learn a little bit more about them. And I mean every one of them, and we'll do our very best to do that. But let's focus, if we could, a little bit on the Supreme Court, Mark, because I think, again, in no disrespect to the statewide boards and the other endorsements that were made, it's just we don't have time to get into all of them, and the Supreme Court really is kind of critical this time around.
Oh, it very much is. The court has now reverted to control of the corporate special interests that controlled it previously. You know, you see decisions upholding the governor's senior tax. You see decisions consistently favoring corporations. The emergency manager law, Tony, is pending before that court. I don't think anybody has any doubt what the court is going to do with that law. A lot of partisan decisions, a lot of pro-corporate decisions reflecting who funds their campaigns. If you look at the history of this, the corporations, the insurance companies, those interests fund those campaigns, and boy, that Supreme Court, Republican Supreme Court, sure delivers for them.
Yeah, there's no question that's true. And as I take a look at the candidates, one of them I happen to know quite well, that's Connie Kelly. The others, I'm sure that I will get to know. Mark, as the Democrats were considering these candidates for the Supreme Court, certainly one of the criteria has to be electability. So let's talk a little bit, maybe not individually, but as a process. The importance of the early endorsement and what these candidates need to do in order to give themselves a fighting chance to win.
Well, they've already started on that, and now they'll get an additional boost. We always pride ourselves, and it's really important in terms of getting elected, and candidates are willing to work, get out there and travel the state and go visit, not only with local Democrats, but with a lot of different folks around the state, and all three of these candidates have already started doing that, and we expect them to continue that over the next several months so that people learn who they are. The trouble with these races, Tony, is that they're way down the ballot. There's no partisan identification, so you don't know who the Democrats or Republicans are. Many times people don't even know who the candidates are. They don't know anything about them. And so our challenge has always been educating the voters out there about the terrible record of the existing court and who the alternatives are. We've got a great set of candidates who spent their entire legal careers fighting against special interests. A couple of them, when they were private attorneys, they handled matters involving discrimination and stood up to people who discriminated. As judges, they've been very fair-minded, making sure that middle-class families and children are protected. They're all active in the community and have a great deal to offer in terms of their community activities. So the challenge to us and to them now is to get that record out there to the people of Michigan.
You know, it's interesting. One of the other, speaking of judges, Governor Snyder and the Michigan Republicans are trying to go back on their word to increase the amount of judges here in Michigan. And Mark, I just, again, talking out of both sides of your mouth, sweet God, what are they doing?
Oh, yeah, no, again, it's the partisan politics of all this. You know, and our three candidates, Judge Sheila Johnson, Judge Connie Kelly, and Bridget McCormick from the University of Michigan, will be very much about the task of making sure that, you know, this kind of corporate politics, which is going on in the courts now, will come to an end. The Republicans had agreed to shrink the Court of Appeals, which has far too many judges for the caseload that it's got. But now they've reneged on that deal, and the governor's about to appoint two Republicans to the Michigan Court of Appeals at the behest of the corporate special interests that run the Republican Party. That's the kind of thing that's got to end. And, you know, Kelly, McCormick, and Johnson, one of their tasks, one of their goals, is to end that kind of influence in our judicial system.
All right, well, you know, it's just, again, I want people to pay attention. One of the real benefits, and again, I'm going to make the commitment to having these candidates on, but one of the real commitments that as voters we need to make is to really deciding to study these candidates. Again, Mark said they're oftentimes, they are at the bottom of the ballot. They don't designate whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Oftentimes people don't even vote for those judgeships, and this is a critical time in our state's history. And to educate all of you on that and then to get you to do the right thing is something we hope to do and is a goal that we are quite passionate about. There's no question that's true. And, Mark, I just can't impress upon this audience enough how important it is that even these college boards that we talk about, Michigan State and Wayne State and the University of Michigan, how critical these folks are. And even though I go back to the Board of Trustees at the University of Michigan, the recent decision to not support what President Mary Sewell Coleman did with the graduate assistance. It was important that that board, who has a majority makeup of Democrats, did the right thing and stepped up, and even though it didn't go their way, said what needed to be said. And so that's a good thing to have happen.
Oh, yeah, no, and these boards are very, very important, Tony. Not just, and it is important, not just to protect the rights of people to collectively bargain, but, look, affirmative action would not exist at those universities but for the Democrats sitting on those boards. If Republicans were in charge of those boards, affirmative action would be extinct. It would have been extinct a long, long time ago. But we have Democrats on those boards fighting to make sure that people have the right to collectively bargain, fighting to make sure that we have affirmative action.
Absolutely.
Admissions.
Yeah, Mark, we got to get to the break, so we're up against the clock. We've got a lot more to get to on the other side. Don't you folks go anywhere. We'll do it. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got a police stop out there on I-94 eastbound at I-275. That's causing some gawker delays back to around Hagerty. Also, southbound 275, Got a disabled vehicle there on the right shoulder that's causing some delays back to 7 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, rain, thunderstorms also possible. A high near 61 with rain already moving into the south and southwestern suburbs. Tonight, a chance of rain showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low around 49 degrees. And then Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high near 61. Right now, it's overcast and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
HUD Secretary Sean Donovan, and certainly Mr. Secretary, education is going to be critically important to with this program. Well, does this address mortgage fraud or, more importantly, foreclosure fraud at all?
Well, what it does is make sure that where there was fraud committed by these servicers, that they are held accountable. This is the largest action of the entire crisis to hold banks accountable, $25 billion in total. But your listeners should be very careful about other kinds of scammers and fraud. We know, given the scale of what we're doing here, that there are going to be people out there claiming, well, we can help you get access to the settlement, just pay us a few thousand dollars up front. And what I want to make sure your listeners know, if they need help, HUD-certified housing counselors will provide that help for free, and they can call the HOPE hotline at 888-995-HOPE to get help.
First Shift with Tony Trio
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. We move beyond the convention now and talk about a couple statewide ballot initiatives that were all the rage last week and for all the right reasons. Mark, Jocelyn Benson, a professor at Wayne State University, one of my favorite activists, would like to see a little transparency. What's the statewide initiative all about?
Well, this corporate accountability amendment is a terrific thing, Tony. It would really make Michigan a leader in this whole effort to fight back against Citizens United. This proposal takes what the Supreme Court said could be done in that terrible decision, which is mandate immediate disclosure if corporate money is being used to fund ads. It also addresses a lot of abuses by corporations in terms of lobbying by mandating disclosure of corporate money being used to buy meals and gifts and entertainment for legislators, running ads that attempt to influence legislators. So it's a terrific proposal. State party is on record already supporting it. There was a lot of activity on Saturday recruiting circulators and getting people to sign the petition. So it's our hope that this will make the ballot, and we're going to do everything we can to work with Jocelyn and her team to make that happen.
Absolutely. And certainly, especially as I look at the Republicans' reaction to this proposal, Mark, I know that there must be something good here, because right away, like everything they do these days, for whatever reason, they're attacking unions. Everything the Republicans do today is an attack on unions, and I just don't understand it, because as Jocelyn Benson explained quite clearly, unions already have to report when they donate to anything. And this idea that the Republicans are saying this gives them a pass is just ridiculous. So I know that when the Republicans react to something as violently as they reacted to this constitutional amendment, it must be the right thing to do.
Absolutely, Tony. I mean, it is proof that there are things we need to know about. You know, tens of millions of dollars of corporate money is already being spent in this state secretly. We don't know who those corporations are, and if there's any disclaimer at all, it's some nice-sounding, innocuous name. And, you know, the way people are scurrying now, you know there's a lot of folks out there who've got a lot of secrets that they don't want revealed, and they're scrambling to try to keep this off the ballot so they can keep their hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of time in corporate money secret from the rest of us. This is the right antidote. It's sunshine. It's transparency. And I think it's going to be very popular if we can get it on the ballot.
Okay. Well, and then, of course, the other initiative, which really shook the bedrock of the middle class, and it's something that Mark understandably protects the vast majority of us in the state of Michigan, and that is the constitutional amendment that would ban right to work, among other anti-labor initiatives here in the state of Michigan. What the Republicans are calling retaliation, the Democrats are calling common sense. Where's the truth?
Well, the truth is that this collective bargaining proposal, and it would protect the right to collective bargaining of everybody, Tony, of everybody. This is about the rights of the people of this state to collectively bargain, whether they work in the private sector or the public sector, and it's a right that they should have, and has been under attack here in Michigan and in other states and nationally now for well over a year, and we say it's time to stop that. Let people decide for themselves, you know, whether they want to exercise that right. This is not something for the Lansing politicians to take away from people, to dictate to people whether they're going to have this right and how they're going to exercise this right. This is an important basic right to collective bargaining that everybody should be guaranteed by putting it in the Constitution. And the initial reaction, don't worry about the power brokers and you know, the corporate politicians and so forth, the Lansing, the Republicans, the initial reaction of the people to this is, of course, independents, Republicans, certainly Democrats, recognize that people should have the right to collectively bargain without interference by the government, either state or local.
You know, it's fascinating because, of course, the response I'm going to get, the majority of it's going to be pro-proposal for a lot of reasons, and mostly because I have a very labor-oriented, a progressive-oriented audience, and I get that. But, Mark, we turn around and see a couple days later the legislature passes House Bill 4929 that basically picks on teachers and people in education with the automatic dues checkoff on their paychecks. Not, Mark, dealing with, and they said it's a money-saving thing, but it's only dues that can't be collected this way. You know, if you've got child support payments, that's still fine. If you've got a judgment against you, that's still fine. If you got a charitable contribution that's automatically deducted, that's still okay. But
that legislation, Tony, is pure retaliation. There is no justification or rationale for it other than that. There's been testimony, ample evidence that it does not save money. Heck, Tony, the school boards in this state oppose the bill. They say this will not save money. They're the people running the schools. They should know. So, no, this is pure retaliation against the proposal to protect collective bargaining, and it's further proof of why we need it. If a vindictive set of legislators in Lansing can do that, on that issue, they can do it on any issue. It's all the more reason to protect collective bargaining in the Constitution.
But when we talk, okay, politics is one thing, Mark, but isn't this a little hateful? You know, I'm not being a smartass right now. I mean, when you target especially a specific group, we take a step back and look at all the anti-education legislation that has been passed by this Republican House and Senate in the state of Michigan, you've got to begin to wonder, is this about some kind of inner hatred for teachers?
Well, it certainly has been expressed that way, Tony. I mean, we've seen these attacks on all of our public educators over the last year, as well as public employees in general. And, you know, we say it's time to stand up and respect the job that our public educators do, the critical, vital job of educating our kids. Respect the important work of our public employees, who, by the way, include police and firefighters and nurses and other emergency responders who we look to in life and death situations. And this is one way of showing them the respect they deserve by saying to them, you have the right to collectively bargain like everybody else, and you have the right to exercise that without a group of vindictive, petty political folks in Lansing or otherwise telling you you can't exercise that basic right to collectively bargain.
Oh, yeah, Margaret, it just amazes me. It stuns me, and it actually hurts me at some level that there are people that make decisions at the state level that don't want democracy in the workplace. And to me, that's all that this says, is we no longer respect democracy in the workplace.
Well, Tony, look, it works, right? I mean, we know the wonderful work that the UAW does on behalf of its members. Collective bargaining works. We've seen success after success after success of working people through collective bargaining, working with management, working with their employer to solve difficult problems in the workplace. It's a proven solution,
Absolutely. And
it's something that deserves protecting.
Yeah, we're out of time, Mark. Yeah, and you know what, Mark? It doesn't just work for the worker. It also works for the manager. Oh, it's crazy. Anyway, we'll talk to you next Monday. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Mark. All right, that'll do it. We're going to take the brace. Chris Savage with Eclectablog in our blog roll segment right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. There's a police stop on I-94 eastbound at I-275. It's on the right shoulder, but people are slowing down to take a look at it. Traffic is slow from Hagerty, northbound 275 between Ford Road and the 96 M14 interchange. You'll find some delays through that stretch. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
Good morning. Rain today. Some thunderstorms also possible once again in the afternoon. A high near 61 tonight. A chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy. A low around 49. Tuesday, mostly sunny. A high near 61. Quick look at Wednesday. Sunny and a high near 70. Right now it's overcast and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now to talk about this recall effort of Troy Mayor Janice Daniels is Matt Binkowski and John Kulas.
This is really about protecting the image of Troy, I think. It's clear that even after a few moments of Mayor Daniels taking office, she made Troy a hotbed of controversy, not just locally, but on a national level. And that's inherently damaging to the city of Troy, I think.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW.
Some say that Barack Obama never seems to go far enough with his policy proposals, settling instead for half-step reforms. On one important issue, however, the Obamacans have been going way too far. With an executive excess that would have given pause even to the Bush-Cheney regime, Obama's Justice Department has been trying to silence whistleblowers who dare to expose government wrongdoing to journalists. Every president hates leaks, but this one is hauling public-spirited leakers into federal court, vengefully accusing them of being spies. His bludgeon is the 1917 Espionage Act, intended to apply to people who give aid to our enemies. In its nearly 100-year existence, the Act has been used just 3 times to prosecute people who reveal national security secrets. But Obama has now brought out this sledgehammer 6 times in only 3 years to prosecute simple whistleblowers. Thomas Drake was one of them. His crime was telling a Baltimore Sun reporter that the agency he worked for was paying hundreds of millions of dollars to a corporate contractor for a software program, rather than installing a much cheaper, more effective, and less problematical program developed by the agency itself. Even though his claim was true, Drake was prosecuted under the Espionage Act, charged with 10 felonies carrying punishments of up to 35 years in prison. What he had revealed was not a matter of national security, but merely a political embarrassment to the administration. It was such overkill that the case collapsed from its own absurdity, but not before putting Drake through a ringer and sending a chill through other potential whistleblowers. This is Jim Hightower saying, to learn more about Obama's bizarre, heavy-handed attacks on truth-tellers, contact the Government Accountability Project. www.whistleblower.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women who put in a hard day's work every day. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday morning program, Tony Trupiano with you. If you didn't set your clocks up an hour, you're late. I mean, you're really late, so you should probably do that now. It is what it is. Welcome back. The weather helped, didn't it? I mean, makes it a little bit easier to lose that hour when the weather's as beautiful as it was yesterday, and even with the rain coming today, temperature's heading in the right direction. All right, it's time for our next intro, so let us get going.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia and delivers information that impacts us all. Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
From Eclecta Blog,
Chris Savage.
As I'm drinking water, I guess that didn't go as long as I thought it was. Chris Savage is with us from Eclecta Blog. Hey, dude, it's live radio. It happens. Good morning, yeah, Chris.
Well, get it drunk now. You got 3 hours this afternoon on national radio, right? Congratulations.
Huffing and puffing. Thank you. Yeah, we'll be fine. I promise I'll be well hydrated before noon.
I'm glad to hear the rest of the country is going to get a chance to hear you.
That's great. That's very, very nice of you to say. Listen, since we're talking national radio, the justifiable furor over Rush Limbaugh continues to go on, and whether you believe or disbelieve, 98 advertisers have now left or are saying they want no part of not only Rush Limbaugh, but conservative hate radio, or hate television for that matter. There is still a massive push to see Rush Limbaugh taken off the air. One petition asks for him to be taking off the United Forces Network. Other petitions are asking Premier Radio Networks, which, by the way, is owned by Clear Channel Communications, the company that owns the station that I'm sitting on right now. It has not quieted down, Chris Savage, not at all.
No, it sure hasn't. And the ironic part is that Rush Limbaugh is trying to make that all go away. If you go to his website where they have all the transcripts from the programming, the ones where he called Sandra Fluckel's horrible names and referred to her in such derogatory ways, they're all scrubbed clean now. They're all just white pages with advertisements around them and nothing on them. So he's clearly feeling the pressure. That's really good news. And I think that, you know, this guy's a monolith. It's going to be hard to take somebody like him down, but we can at least raise awareness of what this is, you know, the impact this is having on the political discourse. And, you know, this has got no place in the political discourse. I actually see this as a benefit for Democrats and for progressives because it's really raising awareness of what's happening out there.
Well, it's also giving us an opportunity to, of course, empower women as opposed to denigrating them. Let's empower them. You know, we responded to that by doing and committing to doing a series of guests on women's empowerment issues, including reproductive rights, because it's something that we do need to talk about. But there's a proper way to talk about things and an improper way to talk about these things.
You want to empower women? Have them take a look at what happened on Saturday at the Michigan Democratic Endorsement Convention. Three women now on the slate of the three Supremes, as they call themselves, nominated for the Michigan Supreme Court. That's that's pretty impressive, and that should serve as a role model for all women in Michigan and across the country.
Oh, there's no question that's true. Tell me, from where you're sitting, you at some level have a very different audience, obviously, than I do. Are people still wanting accountability as with regard to Rush Limbaugh, or are you seeing it quiet down? Because I'm just not seeing it quiet down quite yet.
Well, no, I'm not at all seeing it quiet down. I got an email yesterday from somebody who was asking me if I could identify the local advertisers for one of the Michigan stations that carried Limbaugh, and they're going after the local people now. So if there's anybody out there that's got a bead on who the local advertisers are for Limbaugh's show in Michigan, contact me at collectiblog@gmail.com and let's line it up. I've got some people that are ready to do a full frontal push against the local people, because the 98 people that are advertisers that you talked about, that's the national advertisers, but there's also groups that advertise locally on the stations, so they need to hear our voice as well.
You're going to get a kick out of this one, but it's serious, and so I need to mention it. Somebody writes on my Facebook page yesterday that the advertisers want to come back, and now Rush Limbaugh is now deciding who he's going to let come back and who he's not going to let come back. And it just doesn't work that way.
Arrogance or what?
She actually wrote that he didn't want these people back. Sweet Pea, let me make this real simple if you're listening this morning. Premier Radio Networks is in the business to make money. They decide who advertises, not Rush.
Someone's got to pay that guy's massive salary every year, right?
You got to wonder if your Premier Radio Networks right now. I don't know that there's panic, but there has to be a little bit of fear creeping into their mindset these days.
I think so. It's Limbaugh's been doing provocative things for years, but this is the first time it's really risen to this level, and it's really, the timing of it with what's going on, at the national level in terms of the GOP trying to, roll back the clock several decades. In some ways it's good timing, because it really is drawing way more attention to this than it might have gotten otherwise. So let's seize the moment here and make it work for us for some change.
Well, the best part about this for me is he only has himself to blame, because he kept doubling down day after day day. So he did this to himself. It's not like he said one thing and somebody made a big deal out of it and went viral. No. That wasn't good enough for Rush. He had to say it and then repeat it and then make it worse and then repeat it the next day and make it even worse. And so that's his own thing. Well, whatever. That's
Don Imus got fired for way less than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if you heard Don Imus talk about Rush Limbaugh's apology, but he basically bitch slapped him down. It was very, very interesting. All right, Chris Savage again, my guest with collectablog.com. We do a blog roll segment every single Monday where he and Christine Berry switch off week to week. A variety of issues. I did not get to the convention on Saturday because I was doing a United Way training in Lake Orion, and that was I made that commitment months ago, so that's where I needed to be. Talk a little bit about the convention and some of your thoughts, Chris.
Well, this is probably the fourth or fifth one that I've been to in the last couple of years, and this one was the least contentious and most unified convention that Michigan Democrats have had since I've been going to them. It was really, really heartwarming to see, all of the candidates be there and to see so much unity. There was there were no floor fights, there was no dissension, there was no intra-party bickering and fighting. There's some tough races out there, primary races. I mean, if you look at, for example, what's going on, with Hanson Clark and Gary Peters and Brenda Lawrence having to head up against each other, it's still very, very, amicable. And these are going to be, I think they're going to come out of these primaries, as difficult as they are, because those are three great Democrats. We're going to come out unified. And I really think this idea of nominating people for these boards and positions early like this is a smart move that the Democrats made, so that we've got the energy moving into the spring and then summer, of course.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's I'm glad to hear that they are so unified, and that there was this, Mark Brewer was, of course, just on the show, and he talked, but, Mark's gonna do his spin thing, and that's fine, and not that he wouldn't tell the truth, but You know, I appreciate your perspective on this. And, you know, it was interesting because I'd asked you, you had given me a series of things you'd like to talk about, and one of them was a renewable energy initiative that once I got the information, I knew exactly what you're talking about because we had just had this conversation with the Michigan Environmental Council a couple weeks ago. And is it my understanding that the Democrats are not behind this proposal?
Apparently not. And, you know, without making too big of a deal about it, it is unfortunate because they are getting behind some of the other initiatives. But I think that there's a fair amount of support for the Michigan Democrats that comes from the utilities and from some of the utility-based or affiliated unions that they just felt that was probably an area that they didn't want to get involved with. I do support it. I think it's a fantastic idea. It's an initiative to have Michigan have 25% of its energy supplied by renewable resources by 2025. There's a great website called MIEnergyMIJobs.com. It's the Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs website. Gives you all the information that you need to know about it. A lot of different groups, even some unions, are supporting it. Michigan Nurses Association, the League of Conservation Voters are behind it. So it's flown a bit under the radar, but we're going to try to give it some more attention here as we move forward.
Well, the reason I find this, we already have an initiative in place, and this is to extend that. And so that people don't remember the conversation we had with the MEC, you know, we're doing quite well in meeting the goal of what we needed to do. I think it's by 2014, and so things are actually going quite well in that regard. This would extend it and expand the program, which is something that I think fundamentally we need to embrace and we need to do. And it's interesting that although maybe the MDP's not behind this, this is not something that we need the MDP for, Chris.
No, I think, and this should cut across political lines, really. I think if people are being smart about it, you know, this basically carries on the work that Jennifer Granholm put in place and her supporters 2-3 years ago. So it's great to see this being, you know, continued on because obviously the current administration is doing nothing at all to push that forward. So, yeah, it's great. I'm really excited about it. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting ballot. As I wrote to you in that email, you know, we may have to spend a whole lot of time in the ballot box on November. We've got, of course, the presidential election. We've got all the House seats up at the state level, all the House seats at the federal level. We've got some state senators. We've got the U.S. Senate seat with Debbie Stabenow. Of course, all of the local elections, county commissioners, township boards, things like that, potential repeal of Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, we've got this renewable energy standard, the collective bargaining constitutional amendment, the Save Our Jobs initiative, we've got the corporate campaign accountability, Jocelyn Benson's petition drive, potentially decriminalization of marijuana, and potentially Michigan Rising is successful, the recall of the governor. So we're going to, you know, sharpen your pencils when you go into the ballot.
All right, stay right there. I'm going to go get another cup of water. And then when you and I come back, we'll talk about some on that list. So, Chris Savage, stay where you're at. Blog roll segment will continue. Eclectablog.com is where you want to go to read all his great stuff. Citizen journalist and one of the best in the country. We'll take the break and be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. And since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us this morning is Terry O'Neill. Terry is the current president of the National Organization for Women.
Mitt Romney has failed to condemn Rush Limbaugh's three-day vicious vitriolic attack on an ordinary young woman whose big crime was that she stepped into the public sphere to testify before Congress. He is a dangerous guy. A number of commentators have made this point. The senior Republican leadership seems to be very much afraid of
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. 1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Chris Savage, again, my guest, eclectablog.com. We'll make sure that we post a link to his website for you. Because, like everybody else, you always type it wrong the first time. But let me say this. Once you type it in and you go there, save it to your favorites and you don't need to worry about it. You know I love you,
buddy. I did live blog the convention on Saturday, so you can see some photos there and some, a little bit of the scuttlebutt and the results and stuff. So,
is there some Ann Savage photography or Chris Savage?
No, Ann was busy building a studio in our garage that day, so she was otherwise occupied. So these are all my crappy iPhone photos.
All right. Well, I'll go look anyway. I'll go look anyway. That's fine. Real quick, a couple things I want to mention before we let you go today, and certainly the repeal of Public Act 4 with the signatures turned in. When do you think we're going to have some news from the Secretary of State?
Well, I was told that it should take less than 45 days, so we should know probably in the next couple of weeks. The big thing is that they protect those petitions, and that, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, public calling for accountability to make sure that nothing happens to those petitions, because after seeing the kind of shenanigans that went on in Wisconsin, there's obviously some concern that, you know, somebody might play around with that. But they submitted so many that I really, and Michigan Forward was so diligent about, verifying themselves, doing some self-verification. I feel like we're going to be pretty safe. And then, you know, The next hard part starts. We have to get people to vote for this repeal. And, you know, there's going to be, I guarantee you, there'll be money flooding into other states to fight against it. So we got to work cut out for us. But, you know, that laundry list stuff that I gave you before the break, to me, that's exciting because every one of those issues, there are going to be people that maybe aren't so excited about one thing, but there's something there for everybody. And these are all great organizing issues and initiatives that will get people to the polls. So I really think that come November in Michigan, you're going to see a big Democratic turnout because there's really something for everybody on that ballot.
Yeah, the last thing he put it on in that email, by the way, was whoa, because there's just so much stuff there. Hey, very, very quickly, and then we'll let you go for today, the recall of the governor, Michigan Rising, of course, working very hard behind the scenes, gearing up for their May 5th launch. On this program, I believe, yes, it was Thursday, Labor is not going to support the recall of the governor. They've already made that clear that they're not going to do it. Do people just need to get over that and move on?
You know, they didn't score it the first time, so, you know, there's plenty of folks out there that feel pretty strongly about this. And I even though labor may not be formally involved, you know, I guarantee there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are disgusted with what's been going on with the Snyder administration as anybody else. And you're going to see some labor folks, even if it's not officially through the labor groups themselves, will be out there at the pavement. So my understanding is they're going to file petition language next month, and we'll be ready. They'll be starting to collect signatures probably in May.
Yep, May 5th, I believe, is the big launch, and lots of and my understanding is John Nichols from The Nation is going to be there in Lansing when they kick off, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. In the meantime, folks, I'm not the mediator here. I'm going to cover the recall as I of course would. I'm not taking labor's side. I'm going to support everything because it's a radio show for all of us, not just for those of us that agree with one issue. So don't get mad at me that labor doesn't support you. People get mad at me, Chris. I can't make labor support them.
The labor groups really do need to try to probably maintain some sort of a friendly relationship with the governor, because if we want to get anything accomplished, we're going to have to work together. So I understand their position, and I'm not going to condemn them for that. But, you know, I do encourage people to get out, and I'm fully behind this initiative. So you'll be seeing a lot of it on the collective blog. We'll be promoting it.
Absolutely. Chris, thank you so much again this week. We appreciate it. Christine will be with us next week. And
well, good luck this afternoon, all right? Do Michigan proud for us.
I will. Thanks so much. Chris Savage again with collectiblog.com, and that'll do it for our blog roll segment for today. And it just doesn't matter how much we do, who shows, who doesn't show. Jeff, the show just blows by so quickly anymore. So quickly. It almost seems, you know, you and I were talking because, you know, Jeff, I got a little down on Jeff last week because he didn't send me any links last week. And he says to me, but you never talk about them. And I went, yeah, but that's the background. That's how I keep informed. Jeff, I printed off 15 articles for today, and I didn't mention one of them.
And we didn't get to all the audio either.
No. So the point I'm trying to make here, maybe I shouldn't be doing this on air, but I love you. I mean, I'm not criticizing you or anything. The point here is we need to stay informed. I mean, we need to stay, all of us do on the show. We need to stay as informed as we can possibly be. And even though if we do or don't talk about it on air, to have that knowledge is critical because so much stuff, Jeff, has something to do with something else. And you never know where those connections are going to be made. I am glad, like today, I'm really glad that we at least had a chance to talk about Afghanistan, because we don't normally talk national issues in a way that I think we should. There's just so much going on. It's really, really hard to get it all in the 3 hours we have every day. I mean, it's really a challenge. So very much looking forward to sitting in for Ed Schultz today. I haven't done it in a while, but I don't think it's going to be that much different. I mean, I used to do it a lot. I probably sat in for Ed 30, 40, 50, 60 times. I could probably go on. I've sat in for Ed a lot. The only difference is it used to be I had a home office, so it wasn't that big a deal. I could just turn on my ISDN, and I was done. It was cool. But we'll be hanging at the studio today and just sitting where you guys are sitting right now, Jeff, and that's where I'll be today. And then, of course, we'll turn around and do this all again tomorrow. Life is good. Life is good. This, and I just put my iPad away. The woman that we have on in the Women's Empowerment segment tomorrow, I want a special note to African-American women, because that is her specialty. And so I really want to make sure we've got African-American women paying attention. And we're going to continue this series for a while. I like the way it's going. And the woman that is helping us book this is just enjoying it too much, Jeff. And I wouldn't want to upset Shirley at this point, because she seems like she's having a lot of fun.
I think she knows that we're having a lot of fun with it, too.
Yeah, she does know that we're having a lot of fun with it. We are. I mean, we're really having a good time with this series. It's been, a little behind-the-scenes stuff. It's easy for both you and I, because she gives us a lot of research to go out and read, which is great. It's one simple phone call, and then she takes care of everything else. So, I mean, from our perspective, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. All right, folks, that is it for today. Thank you. I didn't need my left ear anyway, so thanks for that. Anyway, we'll see you again at noon if you want to listen. Three more hours of Tony 2. Again, I'll be sitting in for Ed Schultz. In the meantime, I want to thank Anthony and Jeff. Anthony, great to have you back. Of course, you're all wonderful. Tony at thetonyshow.org, off the air. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident out there on the south end freeway southbound before I-96. The left lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up to Schoolcraft. Also, 275 northbound between Ford Road and I-96. You're going to find some delays there, too. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, rain already moving into the area. Some thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, a high near 61. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 40s to around 50. Then Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high near 61, but breezy. Right now, it's overcast and 48 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 13.